Hi, Susan. I
How many times have you said, "Oh, I'm muted"? How are you?
know, right? That's all right. The way of the world. It's nice to have you, being consistent and being with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make you a member soon.
Okay.
Okay. Of paper here to put attendance on. Okay, hey Kim, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, and it's good
Thanks.
to be seen. Good to be seen as
That's right. That's right. Hey, I'm always considered seen,
It's all about perspective.
That's right. Tell you, April has like come and gone. What's going on up at your end of the hood?
Oh my goodness, waiting for the hummingbirds to come back.
Nice. I
Yes.
can see you guys have been busy at your house. Well, it didn't take you long to get rolling.
Oh my goodness, I can't even tell you. I'm so glad that the winter has passed.
Oh boy, me too.
We had a basement project. It went from
Oh, it was amazing.
January 4th until, gosh, mid-March.
Seriously? Did it take you that long?
Oh yeah,
Oh.
they were 6 weeks past deadline,
Yeah.
but I won't get into this evidence. But
Yeah, I've heard that.
it all turned out quite well.
Good. Oh, it looked beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just put some stuff on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually, maybe we'll have a council meeting or something from the game room, right?
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, it would be nice to get everybody back out because the first couple of years that we lived here, we had progressive neighborhood parties, which was a blast. Oh my gosh! I mean, we kind of did one of these where each house who wanted to do part of it, just volunteered, and then each house had a theme, and it was adult related and kid related, and then everyone ended up.
We've got something planned for March here on Parker Run. Or no, I'm sorry, that's in March, May.
Yeah, the
for
move-in
Parker.
anniversary party probably.
Yeah, the move-in.
Oh,
Yeah, somewhere toward the end of May, because we came in the 28th of May, and then everybody else was within a week or two. So,
that's nice. Yeah, that'll be
yeah,
nice for all
Parker
your
Run,
friends.
Parker Run's got a fast plan, so we'll put the word out.
Good. I like to see your party planners up there.
Absolutely.
And I used to have a really fun New Year's Eve party. That was adult only. That was very fun. We'll have to get back to that.
We'll put that on the calendar.
Yeah, that's fun. It was just so nice to see everybody and laugh and.
That's kind of within staggering distance.
It definitely is. Absolutely. That's fun. It's too much good food.
Indeed, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Hey Nick. So
Hey, everybody.
Tim Herb lives up on Parker, And we were just talking about that they're having like a little Parker Run gathering because all those guys are new up there, so that'll be fun. So I like to hear if these guys are in the Fiesta mode. So I said we got to get back to our neighborhood progressive parties like we've had.
I know. We were talking about that not too long ago.
Yeah.
Doing a dinner or something.
Right. You guys got to get your poker game back. Didn't you guys play poker for a while?
We have not. We had it for a long time.
I know.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
There is finally seeing some hope.
Suzanne, I'm keeping tabs here of our guest this evening. If anybody would like to know what the housing market is looking like right now, this is from a friend of mine locally, who made an offer on a home, said it was 100% appraisal gap, over list price by quite a bit, closes in 21 days, and waived inspections. Holy jamoli.
Wow.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. We really appreciate it. This is my
Hi. Joe. Oh, hi. So nice to see you. You both have similar smiles. Tell your family. Yep. Too cute. Good genes. Very good genes. Oh. And thank you for your nice letter. So I'm sure council will have some things to share with you. But thank you for being here.
We appreciate it.
Sure.
Forgot how many notes we had on this stuff, Jill.
I know it.
I sort through all my stuff.
All right. So this evening, Reuben won't be with us. He's got a very special occasion that he's part of tonight. And Mike Fry is just going to be probably 15, 20 minutes late. He had an appointment that he's been waiting months for. So he'll be joining us. He'll just be a little bit late. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. Thank you. Levi, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Really appreciate that. Be really helpful to have you on tonight.
Sounds good.
You're still in the office.
I came back.
No, good. Look at all those housing plans over your right shoulder. Holy jamoly. Hey, Joe, are we short some people?
Yes, I'm sorry, you may not have been on yet. I was just going to mention that Ruben is not able to be with us tonight. He let me know earlier in the week due to a very special occasion that he has. He's going to be speaking at kind of a graduation ceremony that he has been participating in. And then Mike Fry will be about 15 or 20 minutes late, but they will be here. Or he will be here.
I didn't see Dave Simmons or several
other people.
Oh, yeah. Just came on.
Yeah, and then Eric just came on. Mark Ruffner came on. So
okay.
Like, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and get started here. I just want to welcome you all to the Village of Galena Council meeting Monday of April 26, 2021. Excuse me, at 7 p.m. And I thought, Suzanne, if you would like to do the roll call.
All right. David Simmons. Don't hear him.
He won't mute, and he's frozen. But he
okay. All right, Kathy, you're here.
I am.
Todd, I saw Todd and Eric.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's it for right now.
Great. Thank you. Hey, I was going to ask council permission this evening. We were going to jump right into a public hearing, but if it is okay, we have a guest with us this evening, and I know that our zoning conversation will probably be fairly lengthy, so I wondered if you all would be okay for me to rearrange the schedule just slightly and allow for our guest participation first.
That seems like a good idea.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Would you like me to make a motion to that effect?
I don't think that.
Okay. Very good. All right. So we'll do that, but first order of business, Kathy Krupa, we would all like to wish you and Ron a most happy and stunning 41st wedding anniversary. Where does Kathy spend her 41st anniversary? on council.
His comment about noon was, you have what tonight? Yeah, I got council. Thank you.
So I just want to make sure that I just, you and Ron are just a beautiful picture of love, and it's been just really my privilege and honor to get to know you guys over the last couple of years. So thank you, and a big congratulations. That is a huge accomplishment these days.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, with that, I will introduce our guest this evening. We have a letter that was submitted to council by Sarah Burns. I hope you all saw that in your packet. And, Sarah, I thought that I would open up the mic to you to allow you to say a few words and speak to the council.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So anyone who wasn't here before, if you just jumped in, this is my mom, Betty Jo. And I think my sister, Nicole, popped on. So I don't know that her video's on, but she's here as well. So we just wanted to thank you all for allowing us to speak tonight on behalf of my dad. So as I said in the letter, my father, Kevin Burns, passed away in December of last year. Really unexpectedly, he was a lifelong resident of Delaware County, and that was his special place, was Delaware. And so a couple years ago, my parents actually moved down to Franklin County because my dad's health was failing, and I think it was one of the hardest decisions that they ever made in their It's going to make my mom cry just thinking about leaving that house, because that was the house. If anyone's ever heard the song, The House That Built You, that is something that we reference all the time, because that was their dream house, and that little plot of land outside of Sunbury was where my sister and I were raised and where my parents spent the majority of their 30-plus years of marriage. And I think having grown up in Delaware County and spent his life there, that was just what my dad loved, was the country and being there. And we have lots of dear family friends. We actually have several close, we call them family, but they're family friends who have plots in the Galena Cemetery. The Carpenters, they have plots there in the cemetery, and the Sages, the Jacksons. And I know that Richard Carpenter was like, I don't know, he was a father to my dad when his dad died. His dad died when he was 15, and Richard Carpenter was like a father figure for my dad, and I know that
to rest by him would mean a lot to all of us to be able to go and visit them all at the same time. So.
Yeah. So anyways, all of that being said, the reason we're here this evening, now that I've given you my sob story, is just to request respectfully that we be granted the resident price for the cemetery plot. I'm sorry.
That's
all
right. Take your time.
Based on the information, I know we no longer live in Delaware County, but that is where our hearts are and where my dad's heart is, and given the suddenness of his passing, it's been somewhat of a burden to take care of costs, so it would be very helpful for our family. So thank you for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome, and we're just so sorry for your loss. So sorry. You can tell how much you loved him. And so I imagine that there's a few people here in the village that probably knew them. David Simmons, you might be one of them. So I just wanted to open this up to council, certainly, to ask any questions or make any statements.
Well, I don't think I knew her father, Kevin, but I, of course, know a lot of the people that she referenced, so as friends or family. Suzanne, can you refresh our memory on what the cemetery rules are that we're proposing to change?
the Delaware County rate for a burial plot is $600. And if you live outside the county, your cost is $1,200.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would propose that given Sarah's explanation, that I see no reason why $600 would not be appropriate in this case. So I would make that motion.
And I think it would be an honor for us to do that. I'll second.
Say all those in favor.
Thank you.
Sorry. Do a roll call vote?
I said all those in favor.
Yeah, if it's finance, we should probably roll it.
Oh, roll it? Okay. Going to take a roll call?
All righty. David?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Absolutely, yes.
Todd?
Yes.
That's it for right now. The motion has passed, and we are very happy to do this for you. Thank you for coming this evening, and we certainly let us know what else we can do, okay?
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your consideration, and we'll be in touch. I think we already have it picked out where we want him to go, right near Richard Carpenter. So we would be honored, and thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you all very much. You can just see Suzanne. But Suzanne can take care of all that. Okay, very good.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Nicole. Take care. All right. Wow, that was special. Haven't had that one before, so thank you, everyone. All right. So at this point, I'd like a motion to open the hearing. This would be a public hearing that's scheduled for Monday, April 26, 21 at 7 p.m. regarding an amendment to the Village Zoning Ordinance, Ordinance Number 2021-12 for the first reading, and Ordinance adopting a revised zoning ordinance for the Village of Galena. And for those of you who are joining us this evening, if you would like to take a look at this, the ordinance is available on the GalenaOhio.gov website.
I'll make a motion to open the hearing.
Thank you, David. And a second, please.
I'll second.
All right, thank you. Suzanne, are you okay with all those in favor?
Yep.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion is passed to open the hearing. At this point, I'd like to introduce Susan Anderson, who is our stenographer for this evening, a court reporter. And it's been very nice to have her. I mentioned earlier that we've had somebody very consistent during this process, so that's been kind of a treat for us. But we will need to take a note for anybody who would like to speak this evening. And so if I can have everybody do their virtual right hand, that I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Thank you. All right. Okay. So I was just going to give a little bit of history on this, and then Nick is going to jump in, and then, of course, lots of good questions. And I really just want to say, first of all, thank you, thank you, thank you for reading this, for, you know, really picking through it, coming up with some great suggestions. That's what I just, as I said in my email earlier, this is what it's all about. And we really appreciate that there's been a tremendous amount of time and effort into this document. And, you know, nobody has said that we got it all right. You know, I mean, that's why we have lots of eyes on it. And so we're excited to, you know, look at the suggestions that you've made. We tried to answer a few things very quickly today. But you know, this is a document that has not been redone really in its entirety since 2001, so it was time. And we provided you kind of along the way here, first the revised zoning ordinance 2021 key changes. We really tried to put a document together that kind of nailed down the main changes. Of course, that certainly isn't everything, but kind of the biggies that we pulled out. And I know that you've had a chance to look at those. I do want to address that Allison should be with us a little bit later as well. And so, you know, we've all been quite a team on this. She has been kind of our reporter on all of this, putting all this information together. We did work as a group on teams, Microsoft Teams, with each taking sections. We had over 15 meetings on this. We had our public hearings on this. We had Delaware County Finance Authority, Delaware County Economic Planning look at this, Bob Lamb, the director of that, Holly Matai, who specializes in zoning, obviously Ken, Mark Ruffner, Levi. So we tried to vet this out best we could, but this is the next logical stage is for council to take this and you kind of do your own finesse on it. And then what will probably need to happen, my intention, and of course this is your vote, but my intention is to keep this hearing open for the next meeting or two if we need it, and to continue to delve into some of these issues that may arise with some good questions. So, you know, at this point, Nick, if you would like to do a quick overview, that would be great. And then I certainly want to invite questions this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mayor. So as Mayor Love, you know, explained, we've gone through multiple reiterations of this thing. We've kind of combed through every line the best we could, trying to keep the spirit of the community intact moving forward into the future. I'm a little bit handicapped just because we don't have a right end woman in the basis.
Your internet's a little bit unstable.
Apple has been a huge asset, a huge part of this whole process, keeping us all organized. Allison joined us. I'm sorry about that. But I was just saying, if you can hear me, you know, I'm going to lean on a little bit of Kathy and Levi and Jill to kind of walk through all this stuff. There's a lot of information, and I can't claim to know it all, but I will do my best to answer any questions. I think, there you go. I thought I just lost you. So if David, I know you sent out a few emails. Or an email earlier with a bunch of questions, and maybe we can just start going down those. I mean, is there anything in particular, other than your email, that you guys want to talk about? I guess we'll just start with David.
Well, we certainly can do that, David, and I'm sorry to jump in. Is it helpful for me to bring up a particular document you had kind of mentioned that you want me to bring up the answers to the document, the questions that people asked, or would you like me to bring up the draft itself? What's helpful?
I think some of my comments are specific enough that it'd be helpful to have the draft document in front of us.
Okay. Contributed. Is there a particular section you'd like me to go to?
Well, I raised the question about the maps. And I realize that those may be two different things, but, you know, it is referenced in the document here. And, you know, it's especially with the historic overlay, I mean, I'm not even clear on what area we're talking about for that.
So the historic overlay, I think that was a lot of Janine and the past a lot of the past zoning commission.
Mm-hmm.
Am I breaking up again?
No, it's just Gina Burrell. And that's who was on that.
I think that was brought up by them to kind of maintain, you know, historic downtown or uptown Galena. Trying to keep the square and everything about the square consistent. You know, let's not let in a bunch of box stores. Let's not let in major changes to change the look and the feel of the village, of the square itself. So basically the square, or the Otho is essentially the square, is the way that I interpret it through this whole thing.
And one thing too I wanted to mention that a couple of people brought up the map, and that's a great observation. We knew that this was document was to be done first, and it's kind of been the process, and then the map, and actually in planning and zoning just last week, we just thought, you know, we were going to redo the map so that it matches the ordinance. And so that will be coming, so that probably won't take a whole lot of time.
We're going to start with the map.
Go ahead, Nick, I'm sorry. Are you
we didn't want to start with the map, David, and that looks to be your first prep. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, we didn't want to start with the map, David, and that looks to be the first question that you sent. I'm kind of Article 1. There's multiple references to a map. We didn't want to start with that because we were redefining the zones, right? We were creating zones, we were some in, and revising what we define as, you know, certain zones.
Yeah, so, I'll go ahead and read what for those who haven't. I'm sorry, Nick. For those who haven't had a chance to see the document,
we want to get this to you guys accepted before we redo the map, so we didn't have to kind of put the course type thing. And I think Allison answered it.
Yeah, I was just going to read that for those who don't have this document in front of them.
No, that's what I was going to say. I was just going to go ahead, Joel.
Yeah. Your internet's a bit unsteady. I don't know if it's where you are, but I know you said some really good things, but I know some folks missed that. Just was going to say that maps have not previously been included as part of the zoning ordinance, but rather separate documents, otherwise revisions to the map, like the map 2 changes in October of 2019, would have to require amendment to the entire code rather than just the map. Once the ordinance is adopted, the maps will be updated to reflect the new districts as defined. Those updated maps will then go through P&Z and council approval, which has always been the process. So it's just a nice learn for those of you who were not familiar with that in the past. That is the process and procedure for that. So, yeah, we definitely hear you on the maps, and they definitely need done. So they were not overlooked, so thank you.
Another question I had.
Makes sense.
Yeah, another question I had was about Jill, go to Article 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Article 2.04.
Okay. Public utilities.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that this language would be in conformity with 2020-10, that we weren't saying two different things in two different ordinances.
Yeah. And thank you, because we did get that. I've actually got it right here, the ordinance 4 that we just passed. So we will make sure that that's clear. So thank you. We got it right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne, for getting that out so quickly.
And then you'll scroll down to 2.07.
Okay. Gotcha.
A makes reference to material changes, and I wanted to understand what was meant by material.
Is that something you'd like to address?
You mean substantial?
I think you're right, David. Yeah.
Because you're dealing with building materials, I think that
makes sense. Yeah.
Maybe you should say substantial instead of material.
Yep. Great. Thank you.
Agreed. I think that's correct. I think that's just a misreading.
Yep. Yep. And that was agreed upon, I know, in the results of the letter back. So great. Thank you. You're always good with your wordsmith.
The mayor already responded to my comment on vacancies. And agreed with the wording there.
Yeah.
But 3.04, on the duties, I found that really difficult to comprehend, and think that needs some serious reworking there in the language.
Yeah. This is how it was. We actually gave this to Ken, and this is, we just decided to keep it as it was. So if you have any solutions or any additional wording to add to that, it would be really helpful. This is just, we didn't change anything here.
Well, and I guess I need to ask you folks to do that.
Okay.
Let me react to it, because I'm not sure I understand what's trying to be said here. So I can't change it.
Okay.
If I don't understand it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Ken, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that? I know you're probably on mute.
There we go. Yeah, I agree. This is a mirror of what we've used for a long time. We could try to make it clearer, but I'll tell you what I'll do, Dave. I'll get with you, and we'll see exactly what it is that you would like to have clarified or amplified.
Okay.
Yeah, we can certainly take a look at it. The whole idea here is to get everything on the table and make it as clear as possible. So.
Right.
Yeah, and we can do that, sure.
Yeah, and then further down, letter D, I think it's sort of a similar issue that I think too much is trying to be said in a single sentence, but maybe that needs to be, it's comprehensible, but it's just really awkward wording.
So which one is that?
D.
D. That authorized such variances? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's an important element, so it needs to be clear, I think.
Yeah, we don't disagree. We were kind of going back and forth on this, too, and decided to just keep it, you know, as it was. So, no time's better than the present to clarify.
Yeah. And then scrolling down some more to 4.
Okay.
4.01.
There we go.
No structure. What I was trying to say there is that we need to make sure people understand what is meant by structure.
Okay.
And it is defined in the definition. So I think maybe putting in parentheses or something a specific reference to the, you know, see definition on page whatever.
Okay.
Would be helpful for people.
Okay, great. I'm making notes since you're chatting here.
Yeah. And on the hearing business, I know the Ohio Revised Code is still stuck in newspaper mode. But I just wondered if there was anything that we could add to it so that, you know, we don't have, once newspapers are a thing of the past, of course, everybody's going to have to deal with that issue, I guess.
All right.
Hey, David, on that, we kicked that around, the notion of going away from the paper circulation, but it was discussed, how do we do it? You know, not everybody has internet access. Not everybody's on Facebook. Not everybody's here and there. So it just made more sense to kind of leave it at the paper circulation.
And we went by Ohio Revised Code at this point.
Right.
Right.
But you don't.
But your point's well taken.
Yeah. I guess the point is that you can always augment. I wouldn't suggest changing it because that's what the Ohio Revised Code says, but maybe augmenting it would be the goal there. And
they say to be published in a newspaper and or various other media outlets, something to that effect?
Something like that, yeah. To give yourself the opportunity to do something more, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
But does it make us liable if we don't? Like, let's say there's a hearing for whatever, and
yeah,
we don't get it across the masses or something.
The key is to not paint yourself into a corner, obviously.
It could be an and or.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. Yep.
Okay.
Not an or though, because it has to be a newspaper.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not like I'm augmenting it with something else. Yes, that's true.
All right, okay.
I guess the major concern I have is this Article 23.
23, I'm trying to get down there. All that coming up. This is some good nighttime reading, folks. If you haven't had the chance to get through it. All right, we're getting there. Coming up. Yep. I got really geeked out after a while working on this thing. Who knew? It's very interesting. So, okay, which part of 23?
Well, I like the concept. I like the idea. I think the way it's being proposed here is problematic, in the sense that, I mean, I recognize some of the language here as coming from other ordinances, but, you know, this is a situation where you know what exists. You can see what exists. It's not, you're not creating a system for some future development. You know, it exists here. And even the listing of, it's not clear to me what it is you want to preserve. You know, the definitions are vague, they're general. The listing of styles is so broad that, you know, there are no high-style buildings in Galena. And the reference to architectural styles is not helpful. You need to have something really specific in terms of the existing architecture to guide you in terms of making decisions on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. You know, define quaint New England charm. You know, there is no definition for that. But you can define what buildings exist that you want to preserve, and that's what I don't see here. So I think this section requires a whole lot more work before it could be implemented.
You bring up some really good points, and this was, we didn't change a thing here. This was all written by Gina Burrell, so this was in that 2001 ordinance. And so, you know, again, this gives us a chance to kind of clarify some further. One of the things I talked to Levi about, and Levi, feel free to jump in, but I had never heard of an architectural review board, and that's a word that's used in here, and it's something that we don't have as a village, but may be something, should we need it, that we have, and that would actually take some type of an architect to be on a board like that, to talk about what does that New England charm look like, right? And this, you're right, we can see this, we know what this is, because that's our village proper. However, and I was kind of really focused in on just that, but Levi brought up a great point, is that if we have a new development come in, let's say the Blackhawk thing, and they want to put a new, you know, center of town, if you will, into that, we want to make sure that it really mirrors what we have downtown. So this is not only for what we have currently, but what we potentially could have in the future. So we don't want something with cold architecture, you know, in a new development. We would like to continue to maintain the architecture that we have downtown. Kind of like what you were talking about when you talked about the Primrose School and wanting to make sure that it stayed in with that same look and feel. So so I think you're right that there are some things here to further explore. Again, this is an area that was written by Gina some time ago, and so we just didn't really touch it. But we certainly would be happy to take another stab at it.
And there's a bigger issue, too, and that's getting the village to buy into the concept.
Well, that's part of the master plan. So that's, you know, because this really reflects the master plan.
Yes, but you're talking about implementing a level of control in parts of Galena that don't have them now.
We're talking just the square, though, right? Is that so I understand?
Levi, would you like to talk to that a little further?
The way I envision the Old Town Historic Overlay District is if you look at the zoning district map and you can see the, and this isn't defined as this, but this is always just how I pictured it in my head when I was reading it, is the area downtown that is planned commercial. So, well, I guess, Jill, when you start talking about, and you know, new areas coming in that could possibly be commercial, that wouldn't be the historical overlay district but you could still subject them to a review committee, an architectural review committee.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
But that's not part of the, that would not be part of the historic overlay district. The historic overlay district is just that core downtown area,
okay,
the square, South Walnut, front, middle, west, Columbus Street right there.
That's
what I envision it as.
Yeah.
I think you and I talked about, too, is that, frankly, at this point, there's one piece of property left, you know, to be able to develop. I mean, because the veterinary clinic that just came through, you know, very much mirrors the type of building that is the structure that is downtown. So we really only have that one little section kind of diagonal from Son of Thurman's.
But there's been a plan for the corner of Columbus and what is it? Columbus and Water.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm talking about. That's really the only piece left for the most part.
But the veterinary clinic would be north of that.
Yeah, so the veterinary clinic has already been.
Those are two lots.
Right. So and they're taking both of those. The veterinary clinic will have both of those lots. And so their architecture has been through planning and zoning, and it's very reflective of downtown and what we would consider old town overlay, you know, if you will, with that more Georgian or New England feel. So it really only leaves that one piece of property left that you're just speaking of there, Dave. And then we have that ability to make sure, again, architecturally, that it stays within, you know, that we don't get some big brick building, you know, car garage type of looking thing, but that we still have the controls over what type of architecture that we would expect for a village, what I would consider historic village or village proper architecture.
Well, if Levi's talking about west and front, you know, there's residential properties in that as well as, you know, not just commercial. Right.
Yes, there are some residential uses. I think Underwoods is the first house that would be in a residential use in a planned commercial and office district. And I think the one that will be next to the vet clinic on Middle Street and the Laymans and those houses along there.
Right, and then down on front, you know, where Edward's house was, so that was replaced by a new building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not just a commercial issue. You got residential in that area too.
Just for clarity on my behalf, but the houses are already there. So are you thinking if perhaps they take down a house and want to rebuild a house?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
We want to add on to a house or change the appearance of the house.
Okay, I was just trying to get some clarity, so thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're creating this district, then you have to account for all those possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Good feedback.
And I was curious because the fines in 2314. The fines seem like they're a lot stiffer than they were in the rest of the ordinance.
How do those compare, Levi?
They're definitely steeper. I don't remember us looking at these fines.
Yeah, we didn't.
The communities that I'm aware of, they have Ken, you're muted.
You're muted, Ken.
There we go. Can you hear it, Kim?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Bad, yeah,
bad AT&T commercial.
the communities that I know of that have legislation like this do in fact have a board, and I think the mayor you mentioned there's an architect, and yes, they have the art, you know, people who have something more than this is what I want to see. They have some expertise in the style of the neighborhood, etc. And I think I can probably find some of those guidelines so you can do a comparison. But yes, it's like a sub board that does a review, but the people on the board are in fact architects or that type, and they have some knowledge of the overall appearance that should be in the community. You know, our community really is what, when you talk about it, it's what, early 19th century, really. 1804, is that right, Dave?
Well, your property is the premier one in terms of the square.
And I think it's 1825 or something. Right. Well, the tail of it went up in the earlier century. But yes, so if I wanted to put a deck on the front, is something that would change the character of the building, change the character of the downtown. But I think the people who make that evaluation are people who should have some architectural expertise, etc. So it isn't just a question of, as I say, what I want to see. It's a question of what makes sense based upon the age of the buildings and the overall appearance of the downtown. So some of the buildings aren't that old.
Where you get into trouble is where it becomes a matter of interpretation and, personal interpretation, and then you're opening yourself up for all kinds of legal problems. But you can certainly find other ordinances, as you suggest, Ken, but there is, in fact, an agency that could help us out, too, the Ohio Historic Preservation Office at the Ohio History Connection has people that specialize in this exact kind of thing.
Fabulous. That is a wealth of knowledge right there. Thank you, David. That's great.
I can give you a specific name to contact you.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to just email it to me?
I'll email it to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I got thinking maybe we could look at places like Granville, you know, as well, regarding some of that historic overlay. The penalties, Allison's just joined us, so welcome, Allison. We were just addressing some of David's questions, and one of his questions here was about on 2314 penalties, and we can't quite remember addressing penalties. Did we just keep everything the same from what it was, you recall?
This entire section, this is the Ohio Historic section, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so this is just exactly as Gina submitted this.
Okay.
We didn't have a discussion on it. We were told that she did extensive research on it when she was incorporating it, so we didn't question it. And, you know, maybe we should, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we didn't come up with these figures or suggest changing them at all.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks for the refresher.
I just have a real quick question about the borders of this area and when we talk about alters, modifies an exterior, any kind of, like, there's a whole lot of buildings we're talking about, like properties, residential properties. And so if someone says, hey, I want to change the whatever on the whatever, and like, there's a lot involved in this gray area as far as that. Like, all I've heard described was that quaint New England feel. Well, that's a gray area. And so, like, to not have people that really can put their thumb on, this is what we're trying to. I agree with what you're saying. I think it leaves us open to a whole lot of mess. If we're not careful about how we define the mess that we're trying to avoid.
beforehand. I think that's right. This feels like one of those things where like we're hamstringing ourselves in advance. Like the more I read it, the more I read about it. Everybody, I think, knows, but we can't say everybody knows what we're trying to accomplish because
right.
what we're trying to accomplish might look different to everyone. That's about it. So having those really defined, I think, in this section specifically, but I think also the clearly defined, because I've heard it defined in two different ways just in this meeting. Someone said just swear, and then someone else said, oh, also South Walnut, and also, like, we just added another six or eight streets to it. So those are two very different things. One is the square, one is every street off of the square. So those are two different things. Where is the area? Where does it stop?
And we haven't, so that's what the map is going to be for. I mean, we need to define that. So you're exactly right. Right now, it's not defined. You know, I had it in my head that it's the square. You know, Levi thought it's what's already zoned planned commercial. So, yeah, this is exactly why we're having this conversation. We need to set that map, and we could even just determine maybe on that map what buildings need to be included in this and which ones don't. The other part of this is that anything, any structure, building, house, whatever, built after 1950 is not subject to this law.
I think it's also important to remember that we've never had a historical overlay district, but because this is a planned commercial area, any changes they make to the buildings anyway have to come back before planning and zoning.
Right.
So it's not like we currently don't have anything keeping somebody from doing whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that when we have people coming back saying, battling, you know, justifying what they did, and then it's back and forth and losses,
yeah.
and that's what I think. I think that's what we're all concerned about. As far
yeah,
as
absolutely.
The more clear we are, the more areas there are outside of that clarity. Whenever I've been in a situation where we're starting to make, we're making rules and we lay them all out there, well, then everything outside of that is left open to, okay, well, whatever outside of that. So I think we have to be really careful in how we use what we're building right now. That's my concern is as soon as we say, okay, everyone in this area can't tear down something unless it was built in 1904, okay, and they just ripped down a barn in their backyard. And this is part of that area. Well, okay, is that a $10,000 fine on them? Because they just, according to 2314, they modified an exterior structure, you know, in this area. So there's a lot. I
think that they totally.
That would be a fine because they didn't get a permit to demolish something.
No matter what, right.
Yeah.
But I think they've made a great point by having somebody from the Ohio Historic Preservation Office see if they can look through this and give us a little better direction. I'm really excited about that. So thank you, David, because I think that will really help us clarify. We can share with them what we have. And then they can kind of take it to that next step, and then you all can look at it again.
Something else I want to think about. Think about a structure that was built in 1910, but was renovated in 1955, goes under another further renovation, which are they bound by that or not? Is it the original structure, and are we trying to save whatever 100-year-old building? That's another thought. I like this. I'm going to talk about this.
Once we have those conversations here with the Ohio Historic Preservation, and then
yeah.
we define a map. I mean,
yeah.
it would probably be a really good idea to have that map in this district, right? In
yeah.
this
and that's
exactly
that,
what.
That was one of my initial concerns was because, to me, Old Town. Historic overlay includes everything that wasn't part of the new subdivision in Galena. And that's what I had in my mind when I was reading this, and I thought, holy cow, you know, we're going to really have the proverbial whatever hit the fan when people find out you know, when Eric finds out he has to coordinate with somebody to put his deck on the back.
Guys, I was not kidding about that barn a second ago, because I'm about to get a sledgehammer and get out there before this takes effect. That thing's got to go. I know. Don't worry.
If I
wait long enough, the wind will just blow down. That's my goal.
I'm just coming in late to this, but I think, and I haven't checked, I'm trying to open it now, but my computer's running slow. I think the master plan addressed the Old Town Historic District that we're putting this in as part of what was originally the master plan 20 years ago, and it just never got put in. And I'm wondering if that might be where it's more defined street by street, because in the master plan, we do define street by street, like some of those commercial growth opportunities around Route 3. I mean, we specifically talk about areas by street. So I'm going to look in the master plan, too, to see if maybe there's more definition there of what was originally drawn up. And it, you know, could change, of course. But I think this whole section was added because we had intended to add it 20 years ago. And it just hadn't been done. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the master plan, just doing a quick review here, see if there's anything I could just put my immediate hands on, but probably not quite that fast.
Yeah, so the historic district that you have, like, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mayor. The historic district in every one of these areas, two things happen. It's a mess to build, a mess to renovate, and property value skyrockets. Those two things happen. Wherever you draw those lines, wherever you create that map, those streets, it's a big deal. Like, where you draw those lines, and I'm not talking about now or 5 years or even 10 years from now, but I'm telling you, 50 years from now, wherever we draw these lines, in the historic village of Galena, wherever we draw that edge of this historic district, that people are going to build houses, they're going to buy old houses and build houses that look old, and they'll be in a huge property value. So it really, it matters. It is a big deal.
And right here on page one, chapter one, 1.9, community images, and David, to your point, as part of the planning process, advisory committee members submitted pictures representing various characteristics that they viewed as positive or negative in the village, and then it has images of historic character. And so I was looking to see if any of your houses are on there. I think yours might be on there, Eric. Let's look again. But, I mean, you know, it has Journey Church. It has, obviously, our downtown buildings, but it also has a few homes. So, yeah. And then images of environmental quality, images of park and open spaces, images of the square.
Yep. Page 2-10, historic sites.
Okay.
It says, at the present time, there are no sites on the National Register of Historic Places in Galena. However, there is an interest in preserving the historic New England character of the community and for nominating sites in the future. There are several sites in Galena that are locally regarded as historic and potentially eligible for consideration on the National Register. These include the Village Municipal Building at 9 West Columbus Street, the Dustin Inn at 21 Middle Street, The Odd Fellows Door, Rebecca Lodge, U.S. Post Office at 34 West Park Street, and the former Galena United Methodist Church at 109 Harrison Street, now owned by the village. So that's basically pretty much all they spell out.
Well, in that section, it might be in another section.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Good stuff. So, you know, our master plan is next. So, looking at that. Oh, great. Well, thank you. I think that's offered some really good conversations. I just want to open this, you know, continue to open this up and continue forward with some discussion, because I know, you know, Todd, you had some questions. I'm thinking that Mike should be on here soon. I know he has some questions. So, just want to see if you all are ready to move to the next area.
I think there's some takeaways from that can be worked on, and then we can see them correct at the next.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, just to know, moving forward, how do we move forward defining that? Do you want the P&Z to come up with a suggestion to council, and then, or is that something council should determine, knowing that we have this district coming up in our new zoning ordinance?
If I may, I was kind of saying it that we would get with this gentleman from the Ohio Historic Preservation Office, share with him what we have, and then have him give us some suggestions. And then from there, I would guess it would be up to P&Z to kind of evaluate that and then bring it back to council, unless anybody sees that differently.
Okay.
Is there any way we can possibly, I know Ken mentioned some other municipalities that he knows of, maybe we could take a look, like you said, Mayor Granville, and see what see what they have, and you know, maybe they give us some suggestions of any issues they've had, so we can see that ahead of time.
Yep.
I've got one in mind. I'll go ahead and wait a minute.
You're muted again, Ken.
Never use your wife's computer. I've got a community in mind where I helped put it together, so I'll go ahead and see if I can round that up and get it disseminated real quick.
Thank you.
Not to say that that's right, but it's a good starting point, I think.
Great.
If we could learn from some others' mistakes, maybe too, that'd be good.
We're always about that.
David, is that through your question?
Yeah, that's through mine.
I think two of mine were similar to David, so those have been answered. The only other one I sent in extremely late, and I apologize, is Article 27. I was thinking maybe we should use lumens to delineate the brightness in all of the sections instead of, I know some do use lumens and some use watts. And it's, you know, anymore we shouldn't really use watts for brightness.
So the reason we use watts is because that's what the company and our installation people use.
Okay. Well, maybe we could put, I don't know.
Maybe there's a conversion we can get or something for the light requirements.
Yeah, we could say or something like that, maybe. I don't know, but if you put in like a 100-watt LED, can you even imagine?
It'd be crazy.
Yeah. So I think if somehow we can, you know, either or I know a lot of people are just familiar with watts is the problem, but yeah, maybe we could look into that. And then the only other thing is like something I dream about having is the control of the warmth of the light in the village. And I understand this is probably never going to happen, but I had to bring it up since we're looking at this stuff. A lot of people think that LED light is always like a 5,000 Kelvin, you know, blue light, and it's not true. It's a danger to wildlife to have that blue light at night. And frankly, it's so bright, you know, at night. It doesn't embody the New England atmosphere we're trying to get, you know, if we're trying to stay with the candlelight Kelvin. So I just wanted to bring that up. I know it'd pretty much be impossible to implement and police, but
I don't know what we can do with anything current, but going forward, we talk a lot about lighting because there's a lot of new types of lighting. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure was that any lighting that may come on 5 or 6 o'clock at night, let's think winter, as you get, you know, as it gets darker and darker, that it gets less and less light. And so not to the point where it's off, but it's much less. And then we make sure that the lighting is positioned in a correct way so that it's not intrusive on neighbors and surrounding area, that type of thing. I love your idea of warm light. I love that. I think there are certain standards that we can't always get around, you know, that are our standards, you know, that they would be construction standards and county standards for lighting. So, but I'm with you, Todd. I like that too. So we did look at this several times and got some consults on the type of lighting. And because we wanted to make sure that we were aware of the new kind of lights that were out there.
Yeah, I like how detailed that. I haven't seen, you know, much as detailed as is in here, and I like that.
Lighting levels may be reduced either by turning off 50% of the fixture or by reducing the lighting level of all fixtures or an appropriate combination of the technique. So, yeah, that was totally with you.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mike, just I know you just joined us, but we are just kind of walking through the draft, and we were just addressing certain points, so you don't have to necessarily start at 27.05. But if you have some questions or comments, certainly would love to hear them.
Okay. Have we gone over any of my questions that I emailed you about?
Yet? I don't believe so yet.
Okay. I've only asked that the council forgive me. I've been working a lot more off of the cheat sheet because I think that's where most of my immediate concerns, comments, questions extended from as it pertains to let me pull up so first off you know, as most of you can probably guess, most of my focus to date has been on keeping density down, and I know that's all of our goal. Our goal is to, and I think that reflects the majority of the village citizens, that we want to keep density, you know, responsible with our, you know, measured growth plan. My biggest concern to date was in, and I already addressed this with Jill, and is the language. Let's see, where was that? It was in the PRD and also the PMUD. As it pertains to the multifamily apartment caps of 20% and 25%, my personal feeling is, within reason for what we need for sewer taps and those things going forward, to keep that as low as possible, maybe below 20% and 25%, but that is dependent on, I think, my further knowledge of what our village may need going forward, in income revenues going forward. But the language that identifies the multifamily apartments units shall not exceed 20%, I believe, needs to include all rental units, whether they be apartments or homes. I think one unpopular thing with the proposed development from a couple of years ago was that not only were there a lot of apartments.
We're kind of losing you, Mike. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. From 2 years ago was that a number of the homes could be for rent. And I think that we should be capping the total number of rental units, home or apartment, at the 20% to 25% instead of only apartment or multifamily apartment units. Because there's nothing to keep a future developer from coming in and saying, okay, well, we're going to adhere to the 20% max, but, you know, if we want to put in 1,000 units, 200 of them will be apartments, but what's to keep them from saying 600 of the remaining 800 will be slab homes that are 1,000 to 1,200 square feet and are built mostly for rent? As I think that, again, we don't want to flip the homeowner to renter ratio drastically, like some of the past development proposals have suggested would happen over the next 5 or 10 years. And it's also with the idea of keeping, you know, our vision not just the next 5 to 10 years, but 10 to 20 years out. So for me, that's a biggie.
Thank you. I know that. This is Allison. So I think if everybody else agrees with that, that can pretty easily be incorporated in the language where we have multifamily and apartment, and we can just put in there and rental and single rental units, or, you know, it could be a townhome, you know, it could be one of those connected units. So I think we can pretty easily incorporate rental units in general in that section if everybody else is in agreement with that. Yeah.
Hey, Allison. So who's keeping track of this? So somebody builds a subdivision, and then somebody buys a bunch of houses, and then they're renting them.
Well, that's a good question.
That's out of the realm of zoning at that point.
Right, and I'm wondering
I understand what the goal is, but I don't think that that's something that you can. We're keeping the slab houses out, this 1,200 foot slab house subdivisions out by the rest of our zoning code and our subdivision code. I think you got to be careful on what you do to some extent, because then it looks like you're saying, you know, no renters. We don't like you.
Maybe it's in the subdivision regulations, and I can't recall offhand if that's where we have anything. But
we have a square footage requirement for homes in our subdivisions. You know, we have so many requirements that make them not rental homes.
Right. Well, I'm speaking specifically about maybe it's a requirement of the HOAs going forward, and it's the HOA's responsibility to monitor that. I don't know.
Okay.
And does that seem like, you're on mute. I can see your lips moving. There you go.
The way I've seen it done, and I agree, is with HOAs, that puts the burden on somebody else other than the village government. And actually, it's somewhat common to have in HOAs a restriction that the units can't be rented. I just got done working on one where the restriction was that they couldn't be rented except to a family member, and then there's a definition of what a family member is. So you also have some fair housing issues I'd have to take a look at, too, to make sure we don't step on our toes there by restricting rentals. So
through the HOA. I mean, that, whether it has to become for more of a discouragement of renting. I mean, again, we're not against renters. We've all rented in our lives, but when we're, dealing with an area that's growing with a lot of single-family homes and people moving out here for mostly those reasons and what the benefits are that come with living in communities like that, I think it's up to us to at least, explore all of the legal, opportunities that we have to continue to keep, Galena clean as to rentals versus home ownership. And I agree. I mean, we don't want to come off and ever as snooty, but there's certainly a balance to strike there that I think that we can at least make a focus of ours going forward. And I like the idea of going through the HOA because I know that a lot of HOAs do restrict what types of renting can be done by the homeowners in those communities. So,
but pushing back on the HOA, that means HOAs have to stay together and be accountable.
Sure.
And I know ours is not.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't push it back on HOA and assume every development is going to continue in 1 year, 2 year, 5 years to have their HOA.
I think that's why I started with the language first. I knew that there would be some further legal explorations on that. But, I think it's something that needs to be somewhat of a focus. Instead of just leaving it the way it is and changing our attention away from it and then, getting hit with that big old, we're just going to allow this, we got a new developer coming in there. Even if they're within our zoning codes and laws, they find a way around it. Being from a family of builders, there's always a loophole somewhere. And I guess for me it's about trying to at least manage some of those loopholes as we go forward.
Mike, I think that you make some really great points there, and we'll definitely explore this a little further. And also, Ken, if you can give us some assistance on that, some potential wording and, what the issues are. I mean, we might be able to capture some of this through an HOA. Kathy, again, totally get what you're saying. But looking at the subdivision code and really understanding how difficult this potentially could be for that may be a nice route to go as well, because we have both the zoning code and the subdivision code that we need to adhere to.
If it's okay, I'd like to bring up my other point.
Oh, please do. I'm sorry.
Well, the other one, again, it revolves around loopholes, you know, is the incentive to increase the 4 to 6. And you and I talk about it, and I have a better understanding of that now. So I understand that, we're going from maybe 6 to 8 to maybe 4 to 6, or from 8 to 12 to 4 to 6, which is a little bit more manageable, at least in my eyes. But, you know, again, always keeping a close eye on that. You know, if we're going to incentivize somebody and they're going to have to provide something for the village, it needs to be platinum. You know, it needs to be something very good, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, again, that line can very easily be crossed at any point. And I think that that's within our purview to be able to at least negotiate, you know, on these laws, you know, the best that we can with legally, to put, again, put that in our vision, you know, and keep an eye on it. So,
I mean, this is where you go, okay, you know, you guys want to do this, and obviously this is on a case-by-case basis, but, mm-hmm. you know, as we can see right now, the village does not have money, funds, to build an entire playground. Well, maybe this development, we're not going to get an entire playground with equipment. You know, we may get the space for it, but we won't get the actual equipment. So maybe it's a negotiating point. Okay, we'll let you have X if you get us a playground. You know, I mean, I'm just using that as one example. Mm-hmm. But that's why we felt that if we could have a little bit of leverage in there to have something that is very community-centered. That's why it says other community-based incentives. This is all about trying to accomplish getting something more for the community that we know as a village we simply can't pay for.
Sure. Sure.
Mike, just on your concerns a little bit, we've increased the open space requirement. We actually doubled it. By the size and everything. Oh, I don't think anybody can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
A little breaking up.
Oh, my screen was locked. I didn't think you could hear me. But we doubled the open space requirement. We've also thrown in there, the sizes of the lots, the size of the houses, what can be occupied per lot, you know, 4 units and this. There's a lot of built-in obscurity, and that was kind of to a point because all of these districts are planned. So it leaves us a lot of leeway, sort of, which, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. Do we want to be really defined, or do we want to be kind of gray area? And that leaves us a lot of leeway to negotiate one and to approve it. So no one can go in there and say, yeah, you say this, I get it.
Kind of losing you again. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, maybe turn your video off and see.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with my. Okay.
Yeah, just keep your audio on, but turn the video off, see if that helps.
Is that helping at all?
A little
bit. Yeah.
You try some aluminum foil. If you wrap some aluminum foil around the top of your computer, that can help.
I'll try it. I'll be right back. No, I don't know. I think Allison, you can try it too if you're getting the gist of what I'm saying. We build in extra, open space. We're asking for, you know, less units per acre, which it really ties the developer's hands on how many units they're going to be able to put in there, really. And we left ourselves a lot of house negotiating, you know, tactics, so to speak. We didn't want to be too defined because then we do back ourselves into a corner a little bit. So we left ourselves an opening and saying that these are all planned districts that have to go through zoning for approval. So that's kind of where our thought landed on. We went back and forth about that numerous times, and I think that was our –
I would agree.
That's kind of where we landed, just to give you the history.
Nick, I would agree. And I think, I don't have it open in front of me, but I think with the incentives, it does say, you know, incentives may be granted, you know, with approval by P&Z.
So it doesn't mean just because they bring us something nice that they're automatically going to get, you know, a higher density. So, you know, they'll have to work with us to determine what's appropriate for that. And you mentioned the 20 and 25% apartment caps. And, you know, that's new. That wasn't in the original plan and it wasn't in the revisions. That came from, honestly, just looking at our neighboring townships and seeing that some of the other neighboring townships are doing that. And recognizing that it gives us a good leg to stand on, at least to start. You know, folks will come in and they'll want variances, and I'm sure everybody's going to ask for the world, but it gives us at least somewhere to stand to kind of stick to our guns on that when we feel it's appropriate.
Yeah,
or if we give something away to get something in return.
Yeah, and I understand there's a delicate balance there, especially negotiating really on anything with business. You know, you don't want to, we don't want to come off as too hard to deal with, but it would be nice that, you know, when developers do think about building here, they go, well, they have high standards, you know, and that comes from everything from, you know, quality of construction to, you know, density. And so for me, I know that sometimes I can come off a little bit more tough on some of this. For me, I'm looking at the analytics. I'm looking at the little things that could be loopholes, so I'll bring things up time to time. Mike calls an eye roller too, but you know, for me, it's just about, you know, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, and really making sure that before we do something, before we vote on something, that we're at least clear on our vision and that we're closing any loopholes that somebody might want to. So it sounds like to me, again, after speaking with, you know, several people in the last couple of days, I feel pretty good about where the council is one and two, where PNG is on these issues. I just wanted to bring them up because this is the time. So,
thank you, Mike. Yeah, and I know you and I talked about this, and I can bring this up right now, but we've had a lot of public meetings lately regarding our finances for the village, regarding to the sewer, regarding our overall finances, budget, all of that. And I just can't stress enough how much I would love people to be in attendance at those meetings, to be involved, because, you know, we look at these things individually, but we also have to look very globally as a village. We have to look at how, you know, potential density affects our tax base and how it affects our sewer system and all of these things. So we can't look at everything on a column. We have to really look at it more globally. So by having the knowledge about where we are today and where we need to be and where we could potentially be in 5 and 10 years is really important right now, because, you know, we really talked about that we are at a real crossroads for our village and that we have one chance to get this right, and we are just trying so hard as various developments come in, and we're having, you know, preemptive conversations with, you know, a developer, obviously, for Blackhawk, about how this is going to go. Can anybody afford it? Can they afford it? Can we afford it? Can we kind of afford it together? We don't even know. So that is what we're vetting right now. But we have to not, to go into those conversations, you have to know, okay, well, what do we need for our sewer plant? How do we pay for that, you know, for the next 10 to 15 years based on the increase in population? So that's just one factor. So all of these things, I would just encourage all of you to stay as involved as you can on all of that.
Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, reading through it now twice, you know, I mean, those are the major ones. I'm with Todd a little bit on the lighting, you know, I see his point of view on that. So, again, you know, for me, it's about gaining information throughout the process, and, you know, whether on these meetings or, you know, in the PNZ meetings or what have you, to better educate myself and to, you know, continue to, you know, obviously drive for what, you know, people in the village want. And so, you know, I think that this is a good starting point for sure. When it comes down to the legalese of how certain things are written, and I know that we've already hired some help for that, or we've already gotten some help for that. I'm hired, but that's a good thing too, you know. So I'm excited where we're at, and, you know, look forward to, you know, where we're going to go, you know, with the process. So,
you know, I look at this as a team document for sure. It's a planning and zoning team where we started because somebody has to start. And having you all look at it and take such an interest in this has meant a lot to planning and zoning. So thank you.
Yep.
Additional questions from council? I'd like to open this up to the public as well to see if there's anybody that has any input that they'd like to share, but wanted to cover everybody on council if you had anything.
thanks for the work that everyone's doing. Just to add that, I know it's been a lot of work and a lot of time, so I appreciate it.
You won't lie. That's true. And giving credit where credit's due, this started a year even before we got a hold of it with Gina Burrell making the changes to it and working with the staff there. So it didn't start with us. It's been a couple years in the making.
Absolutely. So I would like to welcome anybody in the public, anybody who's listening tonight. If they would like to add anything, please unmute your mic and just state your name and your address for our court reporter this evening. And let us know if you have any input. Anyone? Bueller? Okay. Well, at this point, you know, again, I always welcome people. If you have something later on, please get a hold of any of us at any time, and we'll do our best to address. Sometimes it's just taking a lot of information in and then thinking about it, so we appreciate that. And you're welcome to these documents anytime. They're available to you at the Village Hall. We can get them to you, email or hard copy. All right. So how does council feel about closing the hearing for this section? Are you prepared to do that at this point and keeping it open?
I think it would be continued.
I'm sorry, yeah, to continue. Yeah.
I would make a motion to continue the hearing at least until next month.
Okay, thanks, David. A second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry. I don't say aye. Sorry, I'm not playing in zoning. All those opposed? All right. The motion has passed to keep the hearing open until next month. So thank you, everyone. Work in progress. All right. Can I get a motion to close the hearing then?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, David. And a second?
I'll take it.
Thank you, Mike. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yeah. All those opposed? Okay. All right. That motion has passed to close the hearing. So thank you, Susan. Okay. So at this point, a public hearing was scheduled for Monday, March 22nd, 21 at 7 p.m. regarding the application of James M. Olf representing Ehab Escobar-Escobar. For an initial development plan for the following described property, situated in the village of Galena in the township of Berkshire in the county of Delaware and the state of Ohio, being known as 1811 South Galena Road, parcel number 417-420-10016-000. The developer has requested that the hearing remain open until the May 24, 21 council meeting. The annexation of the property, will be heard at that meeting.
Are you finished with me? I thought there were two hearings.
This one here, unless I'm mistaken, Levi, it won't be until next month. Is that correct? That's
right,
correct.
It was scheduled to be continued to today. So it'd be a good idea to take a vote at the request of the property owner to extend it until the date you selected.
Okay, so really this should have been April 26th instead of May 24th?
Right.
Okay, yeah. I was reading that a couple times, so I don't know about that. Okay, excellent. So at this point, we need a motion to recommend that the initial development plan for the Primrose School, will be annexed, that the property will be heard at that meeting. So we have heard that at Planning and Zoning, and they were here at Council last month. So now at this time, we'll take a motion to approve that.
I'll make a motion to continue the hearing until May 24th.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And a second, please?
I can second that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, Kathy, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion is passed to continue the request until the May 24th meeting.
All right. So we have a second reading here for ordinance number 2021-06, an ordinance accepting the recommendation of the Galena Zoning and Planning Commission for the rezoning of approximately 6.073 acres, more or less, from Berkshire Township Agricultural Zoning to Planned Commercial Office District in the Village of Galena and declaring an emergency. So on this one here, I'd like a motion to suspend the rules and declare as an emergency, if you would like to do so.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Yes, first by Eric, and a second, please.
Aren't we going to wait?
Yeah, we
need to wait for that one. You need to wait for that one until the May meeting.
Okay, there you go. Right. Okay.
It was just the second reading.
We kicked the can, and then we're going to do it at the next one?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We got it right, Susan. I'm sorry about that, guys. My bad. Second reading.
I should have said something.
No. We're good. I was jumping the gun. All right. So, the minutes of March 22nd, 21 council meeting. Just wondering if there were any questions, corrections, additions?
I'll make a motion to approve them as submitted.
Okay. Second, please.
Second.
Right. Thank you, Eric. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The motion is passed. We'll pass the minutes from March 22nd council meeting. All right. And we have moved past our guest participation. And unless there's anybody else that would like to speak during our guest participation time. Is there anyone else? I'm going to stop sharing here. Okay. Doesn't look like it there. All right. All right, Jeff, you are up.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
The stenographer is wondering if she's dismissed.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Susan. Thank you.
Okay. I have a long report. I'm going to just hit some highlights, and as usual, if there are any questions, you can ask, but meeting's already pretty long. Arrowhead Lake Estates, previously in previous council meetings, we had postponed the third reading of releasing their two performance bonds, and we believe that the issue that we were concerned about has been addressed by Pulte and their engineer, and so at the proper point in this evening's meeting, I believe it would be okay to go ahead and have that third reading and council vote on it, on whether to release those bonds. And then the other matter that we had been talking about regarding Pulte is concerning the cost of the Zor Street extension from Heathermere into the new Arrowhead Lakes development, and the responsibility of who's paying for that extension. And so our communications with Pulte is ongoing, and we don't have a resolution on that yet.
When you say ongoing, Jeff, I mean, are we making progress? Do we have any idea? Are we going to need $20,000? Are we going to need $100,000? When we say ongoing, what progress is being made?
Well, basically, the most recent communication that I'm aware of is a letter I sent to Pulte clarifying that we expect them to provide us with documentation showing what the village's obligation is. And so we're waiting for that.
Now, doesn't that go back months ago, though?
Yes. We had that. We actually had a meeting at the village hall with Pulte and their representatives. We had a number of village representatives, our solicitor, and so forth. And we thought we had made that pretty clear at that time to Pulte, but then recently received an inquiry from them wondering when they're going to get paid. And so it must have escaped them that the ball was in their court already. And so I just reiterated it in writing in a letter.
And when they say when they're going to get paid, what was that last invoice that they're expecting? 75 maybe?
It was 80-something. 80-something thousand.
Okay. Well, we don't have it, and we're not going to pass it, so they better get on board.
Right. Miller Farm, the developer, is working on trying to bring that to fruition. We had a meeting with the developer recently. They're concerned about the cost of upsizing the sanitary sewer system to accommodate future land developments beyond the Miller Farm development. And we're going to have a follow-up meeting with them to further discuss that and figure out what the solution will be.
We set a date on that, didn't we, Jeff?
Yes. I don't have that right at the top of my head, but it's within the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, that was pretty soon.
We set a meeting. All right, let's see. I'm going to move on down the line here. Just a couple things about parks and trails. We did order a replacement drinking fountain for the village square, and they are made to order. They're not just something off the shelf. So it'll probably be a month from now, I would say, when it's actually installed. If you remember last year, the concern was not enough trash cans in the village square area. So now that people have started using the square, we put out an additional trash can. And as far as I know, it's sufficient.
Yeah, Jeff, that's looking great. Thank you. Yeah, you really really added to the trash. While you're on the square, can you get the water turned on the square? We planted rose bushes. We need to be able to water. Or we'll have to run over to Ken's and fill up some buckets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fine. I'm planning on going ahead and having the restrooms at Ruffner Park opened. It's just one person per restroom. It's not like there is a gathering in the restrooms regarding potential COVID exposure. The most recent State of Ohio Health Department orders give a lot of flexibility now compared to last year, where it led us to just keep the restroom closed. And so I don't see a problem. I've talked to the county health department as well. And so as soon as we feel the threat of freezing weather has passed, then we'll be able to get the water turned on at those restrooms.
I think with the fishermen coming, we need to do that.
Yeah. As sloppy as they are with their litter, I'm not sure that they bother even going to a restroom. So at the wastewater plant, contractors are actively working now on the two big projects that we funded in this year's budget, the chemical system and also the ventilation project. And so there's workers there. There's been a lot of contractor activity over the last couple weeks. We're still waiting to hear from Ohio Public Works Commission regarding our funding application for our Walnut Street culvert project. And so we're getting closer to the date when they would be releasing the award list.
And Jeff,
yes.
Two things there. One is, when do they expect to be done with the chemical feed? I'm just thinking, trying to get spring tours of the plants. I know that we've got some scouting organizations and council themselves would love to go through with Tom, mm-hmm. and I know that's a schedule with Tom, and he's been out of town, but just wondered when the chemical feed system will be done.
I'm not sure. Dr. Marshall is just back in town today. I just was able to talk to him today for the first time in a long time, and I told him that, I reminded him that council members are waiting to get a tour, so he's going to be working on that this week as far as putting out some possible dates that he's available.
Okay.
And different times of day to give people some flexibility. It's an active construction site, essentially, so it's not conducive at the moment for groups, but two or three people at a time he can handle.
Yeah, that's why I was curious when it would be done, so we could, yeah. I know I've had some scouts ask me. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. The public would want to know that we've resumed looking at the sanitary sewer rate analysis. We started it last year, and due to COVID, we basically tabled that whole thing, but we can't put it off any longer. It affects the village's budgetary concerns, and so we've resumed the rate analysis, and the Finance Committee had its first meeting on April 15th, and there will be further meetings. That'll definitely be necessary. It's a complex topic, and those meetings will be publicized as usual for Finance Committee meetings. The Columbia Gas line installation project is progressing, involves trenching down Walnut Street. It commenced the week of April 12th, and we have a project inspector from KEM keeping an eye on it on the village's behalf, and to make sure that when it comes time to do the final paving patching, that it's done correctly. The blacktop patching that's out there right now is not the final thing. So it looks pretty messy, and it's just intended to be a Band-Aid until they can come through and do all the final paving at once. Councilman Simmons.
Will they be doing more than just that patch going down the road?
We told them
there's
actually a county standard that we told them we expect them to follow, and so it'll involve milling a wider swath. I believe it's about a 10-foot wide swath. It's probably most of the southbound lane will end up getting paved. They'll get a mill and fill, basically. Councilman Simmons and resident John Bland replaced the rotting threshold on the back door of the council chamber. It's an old wooden threshold, and it's exposed to the west, to the weather, and it's been there a long time, but it was really starting to crumble away, so those two fellows donated a lot of time and effort and replaced that.
The materials were John.
Okay.
Thank you, John and David. That's awesome. I saw you guys working.
That was an original piece of the building.
Wow.
Last thing that I can think of at the moment is I've received a request from an external organization to borrow a piece of equipment owned by the village of Galena, and I'd like for council to establish what our policy should be for such requests, not just this circumstance, but any time an external entity may come to us asking to borrow a piece of equipment, and I'm not talking about, say, if there's an emergency scenario where, say, Village of Sunbury or BST&G Fire Department needs something, a piece of equipment, or some public works-related crisis, but just any kind of random piece of equipment. Pardon me?
What are some examples?
In this particular case, it's our new outdoor public address system that we acquired. We haven't even used it yet, and I'm not sure how this external group would have even learned about it, that we had it, but it's our brand new outdoor PA system, and they want to use it for Independence Day activities. And
I'd like to address that, Jeff.
Okay.
I offered that up, I offered it as an option. I had to obviously ask the village first. That's why I texted Jeff, and that's why we're here tonight talking about it. I sit on the both chamber, Big Walnut Chamber, and the Civics Association events board, and we were talking about 4th of July, and they need a sound system for outside. And so I knew that we had just gotten ours. And so, you know, they gave us a back truck on a moment's notice to clear our drains and things. And we're trying to do a little bit more shared services where we can. So I thought that I would ask Jeff to see if it would be possible to have them use for that particular day for the parade and whatnot. They're going to be broadcasting live as well on the radio, on a radio station for 4th of July and the parade. So that's why we're kind of here tonight. And then Jeff's kind of taking it a step further there to talk about a policy. And I think it might be helpful, Jeff, if there's a policy. I don't know if we have anybody on council that would like to make a policy, but I'm thinking maybe you could write that up and then ask them for council approval.
That could be fine. In the case of the VAC jet truck, that was Village of Sunbury equipment and personnel coming to our aid. It wasn't the Chamber of Commerce.
No, that's correct.
And so...
Point being, we all have to help each other. Also, point being, yes, Jeff, it is brand spanking new. You are exactly right. The other thing, though, Dave, haven't we had to borrow before sound systems and whatnot? I guess we just have to remember we have to help each other. The tough part with this is with it being brand new, I understand. So whatever everyone thinks.
I think it's fair that anytime you borrow anything from anybody, if you break it, you buy it, you know? there's always that. But I know that, like, for Galena Fest, that we've borrowed street signs and barriers when, you know, they forgot to do that kind of last minute and they ran to Sunbury and they gave them to us for free. They brought them down in a truck. And, you know, so just to that point, I guess I was just thinking in good faith service to one another. We're all one part of Big Walnut, you know, community.
Yeah.
Those are all good points. The issue is, I think, not just that it's new, but we aren't even sure how to recommend to them how to use it properly. Since we haven't used it ourselves, you know, it's one thing to loan out something that you've never used and you don't know how it works and you're not sure, you know, what to tell them. So I'm kind of hesitant in terms of this particular piece of equipment.
Just thinking, I mean, we've got to learn how to use it, right? I mean, it's not
a lot. I mean, I've got a note to tell you that later about Memorial Day, so we can save that for later. But
okay, so maybe if we use it for Memorial Day, we'll figure out how to use it, and then I guess July comes before Memorial Day.
Yeah, the issue is Memorial Day isn't going to happen.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, I need to know that because I'm on the cemetery and I was getting ready to do a cleanup.
Well, I'll tell you more, Kathy, but that is a separate issue.
Okay, good enough.
Okay, so I think we're asking tonight if council would approve the borrowing of the sound system. I'm sure we can find somebody who could figure out how to use it. I'm hoping that it comes with directions or we can always YouTube or Google it. But I think it's just a matter of whether, you know, you all feel comfortable with our new piece of equipment, loaning that out to a neighboring community.
I think I would, as long as we have paperwork, as you said, Mayor. So I think it's fine.
Thank you, Don. Anyone else?
Are there opinions to the contrary about that, or what are we worried about?
I'm fine with it.
Like, well, somebody can make a motion if they would like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll make a motion. All those in favor who would like to allow Sunbury to borrow our sound equipment, all those in favor say aye. So who wants to make a motion?
Aye.
Okay. Kathy, in a second?
First, don't we?
We need to, who's making the motion? I'm sorry.
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy made the motion.
I made the motion.
And then I was asking for a second.
And then Todd moved the
I'll second it.
Okay, one second. And then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Looks like that motion has passed.
Okay. Well, thanks for the guidance there. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And that's all I have in my report. Any questions?
Jeff, wait a second. I got something here. Any update on the sealing of the pavement? You've met with Mr. Hankinson for the path sealing. Any decisions on that?
I've met with two contractors, and I have an appointment with a third one coming up in another week or so. And it's not just pavement sealing. There's places that there needs to be pavement repairs and drainage improvements along the trail.
Can we set a deadline on when we're going to make this decision?
If you would like a deadline, you can set one. I just am all about getting quotes from people, giving them an opportunity to give input.
And how many quotes do we have?
There's
two, and he's going for a third.
Yeah. The third one, so the Hankinson is strictly a blacktop sealant person. The first contractor I met with is an actual paving contractor that can handle all the scenarios. And then the other person I've made an appointment with is also a complete paving operation, so they can handle sealing and paving as well. By the way, the ones who have looked at the trail at Miller Park, that loop trail, basically say the pavement is shot. It may not be worthwhile to do any kind of a sealant on it. It needs something more than just slurry on it.
I'm assuming that's not budgeted?
Correct.
Okay.
I think we've got 15 maybe for sealant. Well, we can see when we come up on the budget. And how about the concrete? I know I sent an estimate off for a guy that was at our house doing concrete work, looking at the steps in the back. Any progress on the concrete?
I don't know. Who is the person you think he was going to contact me? The person in the backyard? I don't
know. What is it? Genco, I think. I'll get it and resend it, okay?
Okay.
The estimate.
And then Jeff, I know you spoke to one of the Rocco.
We've got two of them in the works on giving quotes for concrete work. If there's another person you know of, then yeah, have them contact me.
This fellow was at my house. I knew we were interested. I just fell down the back of those steps because it was dark when I went out of the building about 2 months ago. Going out the back steps because there wasn't much light. So that's why it was right on my mind. So when they were at our house, I had him come and take a look at those back steps.
Okay. And just get the paperwork. I'll get it over to you by tomorrow.
Okay.
Jeff, if we can wrap that up since you've got two solid ones right now.
If you haven't gotten it.
Yeah, and if you want to find out that third one, if you can wrap that up by May 14th, that would be great.
Wrap which up? The concrete? Or
the concrete.
Yeah.
And then
the pavement, Jill, there's two. The pavement and
right.
The concrete.
So does anybody have a preference on a date for the pavement?
The steps, by the way. So the concrete work also includes some sidewalks and curbs and gutters in different places around the town. The steps at the village hall that are crumbling, both contractors I've met with, where I talked to them about just patching, just kind of a repair job, neither of them would guarantee how long that would last. It could last a year, or the stuff could stick in there for 10 years. They wouldn't guarantee it. So, you know, the other way would
be... Yeah, with this one, I think he was going to drill in rebar. Yes, I think the one he was talking about drilling in rebar, and that, and the price wasn't that bad for what's being asked. I think we got to look at that one as a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know
that
body counted, so we just
definitely
plan out to do it quicker. And I hear all this stuff. I hear all this stuff you're talking about, but we don't have that much budget for all of this type of work. We don't have budgets for curbs and all that, do we?
Yes.
But we don't need to talk anymore tonight on this. But.
So do you want to set a deadline for pavement?
What do you think we need, Jeff?
Given what Jeff said, it sounds like it would be useful to have this third guy that he's talking to, so he's got at least two full pavement bids.
You want to say the 21st on that one? That's pretty
good. I don't know how long it'll take for the third person to generate a bid.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's...
I think that's arbitrary. Let the guy... You know, let Jeff talk to him, get a bid, and then go think about it after that.
How about we shoot for May 21st? You know, you can let the guy know that you need an estimate by then, and then see if he can produce.
Yeah. By the way, it's a woman, not a guy.
Ah, very good. Okay. All right.
Jeff, I had a question about the Pulte performance bonds.
Yes.
Approving that, would that have an impact on the other negotiation on the Door Street extension?
They're not really related. Performance, the performance bonds have to do with making sure they built the project according to what the plans were. Then we also have a maintenance bond in place for both phase one and phase two. And that'll be our leverage at the end of the project to make sure everything actually got completed. The thing about the Gore Street extension and how to pay for it, that doesn't seem to be in any development agreement or anything that we could find that there's some kind of a contractual relationship that we have with them. And that's what we want to find out, if they have any kind of documents in their records.
But, you know, we've still got their attention as long as we don't release the performance bonds if they aren't talking to us.
Oh, they're talking.
Oh, they're talking.
No, they're definitely talking.
They're wanting their money, and we basically told them, well, we are not prepared to pay that whole amount they're talking about, so why don't you show us where you can find where we've committed to how much we've actually committed to ever spend. So they want their money, and that's the incentive that they have for the Zorsby extension.
So you don't have any problem with paying the performance, you know, releasing the performance bond?
Correct.
Okay.
In our meetings, too, they have, these are two very separate situations. And regarding the performance bond, we've made it very clear, and they've worked with us trying to get some resolution on some of the drainage issues. So I think that we all left the last meeting feeling very comfortable to release the performance bond. But we still have a lot of questions on the First Street.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And then just one last thing. A week ago, one of our Walnut Creek residents was requesting you and or Levi to talk with them about flooding. There's all kinds of flooding down at the end of our development down here. Lozenheiser, as of about a day ago, they contacted me again. They haven't. No one has reached out to them. It gets pretty embarrassing when they're coming to me at council, and three times I tell them, we'll get with you, we'll get with you, we'll get with you. And Levi nor you have gotten with them. If you could please reach out.
Okay. Levi,
whether
and
we
I
can support their problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether we can support their problem or not, we owe it to them to tell them that.
Right. Levi and I have gotten the plans out for that development. And
we're in a bad position.
I'm sorry, you were garbled. Hello?
I think you're frozen.
Oh.
No, you were talking. Go ahead.
Oh, you're back. Levi and I have actually gotten the plans out and looked at what the drainage design is for that development, so we are prepared now to contact the property owner. We'll go out and do a field reconnaissance and just see what they're talking about. The village does have a drainage easement back through there, and so we'll just check to see if there's some kind of blockage with our storm drains. If it's just a matter of they have wet building sites, then we're not going to be able to solve that problem. But we'll check to see if we have any kind of a backup due to some kind of a drain that's not functioning properly.
And absolutely, that's all fair enough. All I ask is get back with the residents.
Yeah.
I get in a bad position. I can't walk around the block without being stopped. That, you know, Kathy, it's been a week. I mean, times, you know, so just get back with them. Whether you can help them or not, just get back with them.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just always nice to look, you know, like we didn't know until just now. And Julia's contacted me several times as well. And we just didn't know that you guys were even working on it. So
yeah.
If you could, like I sent that information on the April 18th. So if you could just say, hey, we got to look at XYZ documents. So at least we can tell Julia, like, we feel like something's going on. You know, we're trying to resolve it internally. We're looking at some information about your land. And one way or another, we'll get back to you. So that would just be helpful to have that, you know, pretty immediate return of information.
Yeah. I think it beyond that, it was just a case of Levi and I been out of the office on different dates that overlap, and this will be the first week we've been back together since then. So we'll
all we have to do is communicate, though. All we have to do is communicate.
Right.
Anyone? I'm sorry, Eric, if you're talking, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. You must be muted.
No, I'm just listening. I'm listening.
You're muted, Eric.
I feel like there are... Yeah, I'm just listening. I'm doing some listening.
Got a thought bubble above your head.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Just trying to help and help in the right places here, and how we communicate to our village. It's important, and what we communicate and how we communicate. And this is a changing thing, not just this year with the COVID and all the stuff, and as we grow as a village, this is going to continue to be a challenge. I see this as not getting better, but harder. So I'm just listening and trying to think of ways where we can improve and help each other.
That made me think, Jeff, how are we doing on uploading the Zoom calls? I know you and I had a little back and forth on email, but I have sent you after every meeting, I send you and Suzanne both every recording. So I know council talked about getting that up last time, and there was a little bit of, I know you
well,
had
the,
some things you...
The minutes and the agendas are up. The recordings, that's what I had asked you, if you could get those recordings. What you send us are links to get the recordings.
And all you do is open the link and then you post it.
Well, except those are MP4s. That's a video. Those are too big of a file to put on, so they have to be converted to MP3s. There's a whole extra step in there. And I was just looking for some assistance to try to lighten the load a little here.
I'm just trying to think as far as I didn't know that that's what you needed, is that you had some kind of a conversion thing, because I've never heard of that, but because that's all Zoom sends me. You know, obviously I have all the Zoom recordings in the cloud, and you can have access to that, but I'm not sure anything would need.
Well,
I don't know if that's based on our website or how that's done.
Some of the links that I followed didn't allow me access. But no, MP4, that's, you know, these Zoom calls are audio and video,
mm-hmm.
and the files are enormous, especially when you have 2 or 3 hour meetings. And so that's beyond the bandwidth. So we have to extract the audio.
So is that because of the program that the computer's on? Because like Genoa, BSCNG, Berkshire, they're all up, and they're all video and audio. And so they're up that same night, and they use SoundCloud. So is it because our website doesn't allow for it? Or
it's probably then the platform, yes.
Okay.
If we wanted to do SoundCloud, then that might be the answer.
Okay. Okay, well, definitely something that needs to be figured out, but most importantly, I didn't know that those were all your challenges, so if you can share that and express that with me, to me, that would be very helpful, because we can talk about that long before a council meeting.
So, yeah, I'm going to jump in here. Like, guys, this is the thing we talked about last month, and now this is the thing we're talking about again this month. And if this is just a conversion issue between, like, one way of loading it and another way of loading it that's either a compressed file or not as high quality as far as just, you know, I mean, we can, as far as the clarity of the file, doesn't have to be super clear. You can drop down as far as the information and transferring, but this is not a Herculean lift. This is not a difficult thing to get done. So I feel like we're stuck in this particular place. And if it's again, this is as far as how we communicate and how we do a good job here. Our ability to transfer this information to everyone here in Galena. So how can we help? How can we help to get this done? What can I do to help as far as to get this ball over the hill?
Well, I think right now it's Jill and I probably will need to collaborate, because I can't seem to get for some of the recordings. But then Yeah, on some of the Zoom calls from last year, I went ahead and did the conversions and so forth. It's just right at this moment, all I had time to do was get the meeting minutes and agendas posted for last year and up to this year, but not the audiovisual files.
Okay. So it's more of a time thing and the information transfer. Okay. So what can we do to help with this as council members? What's needed? Do we need to add staff positions? Do we need to be thinking about budgets for next year? Do we need to change, responsibilities? What do we need to do? That could be a personnel thing. What
There's
do we
a whole electronics committee too.
Right. Well, and I hear that. I heard that last month, and now I'm starting to think that there's more that we can do to help with that committee as well. So this could be whether it be either adding staff to help with this one job, or whether it be the electronics committee where we have some added volunteer efforts underneath this as well. So this is good. So council, I'm going to ask you guys if you would like what's the name?
Electronics committee.
We'll say the electronics committee. Uh-huh. To see if we can be more involved in our, I think our just the overall information transfer between what we do as a village council and the village. So if there's a motion for an expanded role of the of that electronics committee in both responsibility and oversight, I think that might be good for that committee.
And who is on the committee? I think Dave Simmons, right, Dave? Who's on that?
Mike, I think it's Mike's committee.
Oh, Mike's committee chair.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm not volunteering you for stuff. I'll work with this too, man.
No, but I think we get together as, or we meaning the electronics committee gets together and resolves this immediate problem. Resolve this. Get us up to date so it's not embarrassing when people call me and say they can't.
We'll have to look outside. Like for me, I'm illiterate when it comes to converting MP4 files and those types of things. It's not my strong suit. So if there's anybody on council or anybody that council knows that maybe would be willing to educate the committee on how we can just, get this thing done. And it can't be that hard, It's just, it's just the base knowledge of it. And I have no problem having that being under the committee's, oversight. I would need some help in that area. There's probably one guy I can call that might be able to help me with that. But, again, I use Wix. So for all my businesses in the past, I use Wix. And that's for dummies who don't know how to use, how to do web hosting.
Let's get that electronics committee involved in loading the information on our website. Let's do that. That's a jumping off point because it feels like that's a stall point. And Jeff said it's a time suck for him. So let's come alongside him and help.
Now the first thing we'll need is obviously we'll have to know what kind of website it is and. WordPress versus, Wix. A lot of them have different,
transfer.
Programming.
Some of those files are big. Some of those files are.
Well, if it's as simple as the SoundCloud platform, then it may not be much more than that. These other entities using it flawlessly, then don't really need to research it much.
So as far as the involvement of the electronics committee and their ability to basically come alongside our staff and say, hey, how can we help
with this, because if this is an ongoing, it's a heavy lift, and we got other stuff, we got other areas where we need you guys lifting. So if we have people that can do something in 15 minutes, that's taking our staff half a day to do, well then we owe it to the village to say, hey, let's do that in 15 minutes. So,
well, can we reach out to Kevin from Berkshire? He's doing it, or maybe BTS, the fire department, they're doing it. Maybe a 15-minute phone call, they can do it.
I will ask, and maybe Jill and I can have a conference call with them, something like that.
I think the electronics committee is going to take over.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The electronics committee is Mike Fry is chair, Eric Johnson, yep, and David Simmons.
Good.
Great. We'll
have a huddle up, and we'll basically keep you guys involved in between now and the next council meeting, and just be like, here's the plan, here's how we're going to help, and we'll just take a fresh look at everything. We'll take a look at where we are. Take a look at the website and how we work through that and how we communicate to the village through this website. So I think
that would be fabulous, because then I don't have to post every single month and everything. So.
Yeah, let's get together in the next week or two and get a huddle up, and this is something that can be done.
David, we'll let's not waste any more time in the big meeting. David and Mike, we'll talk more about this and see where we need to go. Does that sound good, guys?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, I'm up. Okay, well, I just want to kind of start with beautification committee has been very actively working on the square. The businesses, and this is exciting, guys. So the businesses on the square are generously donating to the project. So each business on the square thus far we're up to $400 or $500 that has been donated by our local businesses. So we knew that as we would fall short as a committee, mainly for the mulch under the big tree, that mulch, we need jobs of it. And so just to cover those bags and, that type of thing. So we need almost 100 bags for that, and it's about $400. So it was going to take up a big chunk of business. So we tried to be creative, and the businesses have been extremely generous and willing to jump in. Actually, three or four of the business owners have already said, let us know when you guys are doing stuff so we can come over and help, which I thought was really nice. So I do want to send a huge thank you to a special group that helped last weekend. That was Kathy Krupa, Mary Howard, Polly Steele, Karen Underwood, Dan Chasowski, Dan Frost, Diane Fox, Eli and Isaac Heflick, Brooke and Josh Heflick, Ken Gunn, and Mary Lou Davis. And I do have to mention what's exciting about this is not only did some of these people live in the village, but a lot of these people live outside of the village. One of the gentlemen is a resident here, and he got with some people at his church. And so he says, hey, I've still got a whole bunch of people to, come. So, council, anytime you guys all want to jump on, May 15th is our planning day or planting date. So you guys have probably been out there to see the knockout roses that have been planted where Bee City was. They are gorgeous. We're really going with kind of a red, white, and blue theme. You'll see some of them around the memorials. Enid Horn, I was excited for her to see, if you recall. She was the one who wrote us the letter last year about her father, and that memorial was in, was a memorial for her father, Dr. Horn, excuse me. And so there's some knockout roses there. People have been weeding. Mary went and got a bunch of compost, so we've added to the soil. Got beautiful, fresh compost. Maintenance has been incredible, helping with that effort. And mowing, so that on Friday nights when little ladies come, everything looks great. So we are moving along, and they're edging.
Yeah. And Mary is on the line. Mary is Berkshire. She is our number one for the beautification committee. I mean, I've been working during the day, but at 2:00, she's up there with another resident from Genoa. And they are working. Those are our top two participants, Genoa and Berkshire. Thank you, Mary, so much. And, she got the compost. And Jeff, thank you. Maintenance has been fantastic. They pulled out stumps. They've seeded.
Oh, my goodness.
They've done every darn thing that we've asked. So thank you very much.
The stumps, Oh my gosh, how can I forget talking about the stumps? I about took a digger several times, and there's like six stumps, and they took them all out. So even that big stump across from Ken's office. So, and the bagworms are gone from the juniper tree. So,
guys, some of those were historic stumps. We need to make sure we need to be careful. If we remove them, there could be a punch ball.
Right.
Just trim those stumps all the way back, and then they grew back.
Yeah, so the guys did that, so it's just been great. It's been a lot of team effort on that one, so thank you, everyone. I understand that Earth Day at Hoover was a great success. It sounded like they had about 28 people come out, and that was on Saturday. So they got lots of trash picked up, and I guess they'll have another one here in September, I believe, is what was mentioned. So I just wanted to update. Sorry, guys, I kind of left you hanging on my notes here. For 2021, mayor's salary as of March is free, if you want to write it in. $3,783. What I realized, I wrote that in, and then I was going to look at my pay stub, and I didn't put it in there, so sorry about that. Master plan and zoning code, I think we all pretty much know what's going on there. Just to reiterate that we will be doing that map and starting on the master plan updates. We won't be doing a new master plan, but we will be doing master plan updates. And for those of you who don't know, the master plan was done through 2020, so we kind of need to plan for our next 10 years, and then we got new census numbers. Development, we're kind of at quite a few conversations here financially, not from a actual plan standpoint, but I want to make sure that you all know that Romanelli has not developed any kind of contract with Rosinger on the golf course yet. Matter of fact, we understand that there's been a lease for farming for the next year, because this development won't happen for the next year, I'm guessing. So they wanted to make sure that, they were able to use the land in some form. So actually, this last meeting, public meeting, Jeff Rosinger was on there along with Baker Tilly, Jim Olin from Romanelli and Hughes, Ron McCarthy from Bricker and Eckler. And so they met with the village and the finance committee to talk about development finances. So we really are just in a stage here trying to figure out if this is viable and doable financially for either party. And so, their ask continues to be $8 million, and they've done a lot of creative different financing options with some TIFs and some different things, and we're just not real comfortable with that particular direction. And so really the next step, they've kind of asked us of certain things. This is all public. You're welcome to any of these notes. And we're coming back to them with suggestions also from Brooker and Echo. He's been a great guide for us, Rob. And kind of having that normal negotiation to see if this is going to be a viable product. One of the things that's a bit of a showstopper right now is that if you recall, and if any of you have attended the any of these development meetings with Romanelli, is that in the plan is a fire station and event center, and currently they do not plan to build either of those. They're going to donate the space and the land, and that's always a good thing. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but we really need the buildings. We as a village absolutely do not have the funds to develop buildings there, and especially a fire station.
We also talked about maintenance building maybe a higher priority. So we
exactly.
as well.
Right. So, it's all nice to want and ask for these things, but somebody's got to pay for them somewhere, somehow. So, these are in chief. Kovac has been on every one of these meetings. Jeremy Busker from the Big Walnut Schools has been on every one of these meetings. It's been really nice to have kind of the meetings of the mind. So, we have our next meeting. Shoot. Sorry, I didn't write that down. With Romanelli, or excuse me, it may just be the finance committee. Let's see. Here.
Yeah, I don't know if this.
Yeah.
We throw some things.
May 4th, wasn't it?
May 4th, yeah. So we tried to put, we're going to put our notes together and figure out what our ask is back to them. And then, they can say yay or nay. We can say yay or nay. So they do need money for infrastructure. It's just there's a lot of creative ways to get these things done, and some we can live with, some we can't. And so as we look at this development, though, as I mentioned earlier, we were talking about the zoning draft, how important it is to understand not just hey, we got a development, we got to figure out how to pay for it, but we got to think about what effects does this have on our sewer? What effects does it have on various things that we do in the village and our overall budgets and our long-term sustainability and our payments? So, you know, we can't just look at this in a bubble. We have to look at this as a whole. So that's what we're trying to do. So it was great to get finance listening and all their intake on this. So we're just seeing if it's, you know, you can't develop anything unless you know if you can pay for it. So I'm glad we're starting here. As you saw, Teddy Engineering proposed a plan for the new build veterinary clinic next to Tallulah's. And, you know, they're going to start their engineering process, and we're excited to have them on the square. I think their building looks very, very nice. You guys will see more of that. Local business, Santa Thurman is open. And one of the things, I have two places that I'd love to do a ribbon cutting, and Santa Thurman's and Tallulah's. And because of COVID, we haven't really been able to do Tallulah's. So I would love to have it be something that all of council attends and that we make kind of a nice event for a nice ribbon cutting for those. Now, this is obviously something I have not done before, so I'd love to get some guidance from council on how these things kind of are planned and come together, whether that we just set a date for that to happen. Talk to Cristobal and Annie Sievers about it. They love the idea. And we just need to offer them some dates. And so maybe a little guidance there.
You need big scissors. You need the big,
big scissors.
Yeah. Really, my only
and a big ribbon.
You need big scissors. So,
well, hopefully we have another one on the list. Joe Walker, Delaware engineer, got a hold of me and said the bids came in and they appear to be in line with the amount of money that we budgeted, along with Berkshire. And we should know. Probably in a couple of weeks, we should know the timing of when they'll be doing the construction on the road. So that's
awesome.
For which road?
They're not in the work, so that would be nice.
Joe Walker, down behind Walnut Creek.
Joe Walker.
That's great. So as far as the ribbon cutting, do I just set a date for that? And, you know, is that normally done like on a Saturday morning?
I think it is. It's usually Saturday morning at like 10, isn't it, David?
I think that's a practical time to have it, yeah, but to get the most traffic.
Would you think of doing them both in the same day?
Why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. All right. Well, I'll get some dates out there, okay, in the next couple of weeks.
Also, do it during the beautification on the 15th, and then you
wait. Everybody just bring gloves. I was asked by the diner to let everybody know that they are currently, I just started this, serving alcohol and beer. Beer and wine. So they got their liquor license that they just recently bought. So we actually have three establishments that have a liquor license, which is Santa Thurman, Diner, and Sambuca's. On a note with Sambuca's, if you haven't heard yet, Eddie is selling that. It's up for sale currently for $725,000. So if anybody's got a little pocket change and would like to buy Sambuca's, you can write a check. So, yeah, he wants to retire. So
the corner, like the whole corner?
Fry Pie, yeah.
No, but like the building and the land at the corner.
That's correct.
For $750.
Yeah. $725.
I think I heard $750 too. But
$750. I could easily have that one. Okay.
Small change from $50 to $25,
whatever. That's right. So So get your fry pies while you can. Okay. And then a little bit of miscellaneous I just wanted to mention. Suzanne and I were talking about this, and as you guys know, Suzanne takes a part of every single month out of her day to deliver our packets to us, hand-deliver our packets for council. And she does it, if needed, for planning and zoning, but traditionally council. And I would love to take that burden off of her and say that she emails all of this information to us and that we don't have a solid packet unless we need it, or if you want to go get one at the village and you guys pick it up, that we all pick it up ourselves instead of having her do home delivery like DoorDash. So,
I think we could bring food too. I mean,
I know, right? Yeah. And if you're coming,
For me, I love a package, but I'm never accounts payable, so I can pick it up when we do accounts payable.
I love it when Suzanne stops by. She brings the packet and it's nice. My dogs bark at her. I love it. It's fun. I think this does fall in line. We're trying to be helpful. We're trying to streamline. Even that's simple. That's an hour. That's an hour where she could be doing something for the village instead of doing something for us. I think there's a better way to do it.
We're not changed here, so I figured, you know, she doesn't need to hand deliver us our packets. We're very capable of it. If you want one, let her know, and she'll run them off for you. You guys can just pick them up at the village. And so let's just start that going forward. I'm sorry, what's that, Todd?
I said digital only is good for me, Suzanne.
There you go. All right.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
One day, Todd, you'll be saying, well, I'm old school, so I'm old school. I write and write and write the whole meeting.
Or Suzanne can email it, and then you can come over and run the copy. How about that? All right. One other quick thing here is that I just wanted to let you know that Suzanne, again, also worked with me on a grant that I received from Troy Balderson's office, the Community Project Funding, and we met for a couple hours a couple Saturdays ago and worked to address the grant, and I think maintenance will be happy to know that the grant is a $250,000 grant submission for a new maintenance, towards a new maintenance building. So we know how much we need that, and it is under Rural Development, Rural Community Facilities Grant. And so I got that in last week and requested that $250,000. Just so you know how this works, everybody needs to send good prayers up and good juju, because out of all of Ohio, Troy Balderson can pick 10 projects. And so, we gave him the facts. We really gave him the facts of how poor that building is from a major safety concern, that it's really falling in around our maintenance guys. Our people and our equipment is not safe, and it's to a real detriment to the village should anything happen. So we talked about future development and growth and our needs for that. We'll get it looking to get, we have the land to do it. So we were looking at a 50 by 100 pole barn type of thing that would have a salt bay. It would be a 5 to 6 day salt bay. So Jeff's pictures that he's been taking, and we added that in there. So we don't have a timing on when this will be announced yet, so I'll be waiting anxiously. We just have to make sure that the federal money for sure is coming. But again, he can pick 10 projects out of all the projects submitted in Ohio. I was hoping it was by category, but it's not. I verified that. It is by all the, and there's several categories. I'm just hoping that, they will see the need that we have, especially in such a growing way. I just wanted to let you know that was out there. And with that, I will pass it over to you, Suzanne.
Okay. We had, I'm not going to go over like the normal stuff. I had the auditors are still investigating the mayor's pay, and so I just wanted to let you know that was probably 4 to 6 hours of mine and Michelle's time, if not a little bit more than that, just compiling everything that they're asking for. They wanted every set of minutes from every personnel and every finance. Then they wanted all the approvals from every finance committee. So it was just a ton of information that they're still requesting. Thing, and that was as of Friday, they were requesting things. So
that was that piece, Suzanne, you were talking about that I included in with my timesheet that basically showed somewhere along the line I must have messed up some type of a format on the Excel timesheet that Actually, I was short 10 hours rather than 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was kind of, I didn't know that they found that, but they said, hey, have her add 10 hours in because she was short 10 hours.
But there's one positive thing that came out of it, but we had two all-day trainings for local government. We've had several village hall rentals, which have been nice. HOAs from outside of the village are coming in to rent the village hall, and so they're paying, you know, $100 here and there. That's always helpful. We've had two monument orders and several records requests for things such as minutes and fees and stuff like that. We do have a need for, I need a motion to approve a refund check to Pulte because they sent in two checks and Michelle and I didn't touch it on our checks and balances yet. We probably would have caught it at the end of the month, but so they need to be sent a refund check for $10,116.34 because they did pay twice and I subtracted the amount of their current balance due out of that. So it would be paid. So I would like a motion for that, if I could have one.
Give me the amount again.
$10,116.34.
I'll make a motion to refund $10,116.34
to Pulte. Oh, I can second that.
We lose you.
Suzanne?
Do a roll call vote?
Or do I do all the... Oh, roll call because it's...
Whichever you want.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
And Todd?
Yes.
Okay, and then we also need a motion. We had Kathy turned in her expenses Friday, and I just didn't get a chance to pay them. And since they included sales tax, just wanted council to approve. So,
well, sorry about that, Suzanne. It's been a year, so I forgot about sales tax. I'll say the same as last year. You don't have to pay me the tax. I'll absorb that. However, there is one receipt in there that's from another resident. His name's on the top of the receipt, David.
David Frost.
Yeah.
David Frost.
So I can't answer to David, but it's my mistake on mine. Go ahead. I'll pay the tax.
We have all those tax exempt forms. I know Jill submitted several to area places that sell plants and gardening things.
It's tough when you're at, it's tough when you're at Costco and they got 30 bags and we need them so bad and they're like $12 and you just grab it, you know. So what can I say?
You know how wholesale at Acorn Farms, though. That's exciting.
You weren't in the office today, were you?
No.
Okay.
But I was talking to Michelle, and go ahead.
Okay. Ruben and I both talked about the possibility of paying the tax, the sales tax this time, but suggested that maybe in the future that purchases like that be made with a village credit card so that we can avoid some of those issues.
Yeah, I understand, Dave. It's not that easy, though. You've got Mary running and buying 15 rose bushes. You got me buying this. You got Jill buying that. It's all because we're all trying to save money.
Let's try and coordinate it, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I know between me and Mary, we have 50 hours in the damn square, so it kind of makes it tough. I'd rather just pay the taxes out of my pocket, but because we're all trying to get the best deal. I mean, if you see a really good deal at Costco, you just grab them, you know. But it is what it is. It's easier said than done, but I'll absorb my own sales tax, so don't worry about that.
Well, both David and Ruben said that, in their opinion, that we should pay the sales tax. So I will let council decide if you want to pay the sales tax or not. But it would be for Kathy, a check for $379.33, which includes $26.47 in sales tax. And
no, Suzanne, does that include Dave's, though? Because I didn't send that.
That's a separate check. So it was for $73.81, and it's $4.83 in sales tax. So.
Oh, that's because I already reimbursed somebody else who gave me a receipt. That's why mine appears that high. But, and I don't know, I think we still have a couple more receipts out there. But whatever you decide is fine.
Who is David Frost? I haven't heard of that person.
Dan Frost.
Dan Frost.
By David. He's my neighbor. He lives in the state of Blackhawk. Yeah.
So is that a legitimate expenditure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, oh, yeah.
He came to the cleanup day, and he brought items. Yeah.
I just didn't want to sign off on something that, you know, anybody could be just sending in for reimbursement.
All right, yeah. Fair enough. We get them directly from the person. They actually hand it to us. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you want to make a motion to pay the sales tax? Is that how you like to work that?
If you're asking me, I would say approval for $379.33 to Kathy Krupa and $73.81 to David Frost.
Okay.
And
I'll make that motion.
Any other outstanding? Jill, do you have any outstanding?
I do not.
Mary, do you have any outstanding? You're on the line. That you've already purchased, that you have the receipts? Mary, Howard?
Sorry, I wasn't close by. And I may have a small one, like $30, but I think I'm good.
Okay. So we may be in better shape than we thought.
So I have
a second motion.
Yeah. And I need a second from someone other than Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Eric.
Yeah.
Eric? Okay. And we'll do a roll call. David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Kathy?
I'll abstain.
Thank you all. If you have any questions, feel free. All right.
All right, so I just need to see the, I'm sorry, Suzanne, I didn't ask if you were done.
No, I am. I said if anybody has any questions.
Okay, sounds good. For payments of invoices for April, I'd like to get a motion to pay those invoices, or if there's any questions, please let me know.
I'll make that motion.
All right, David, and a second, please.
I will second that.
All right, and we'll do a roll call vote.
David?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes, Pam.
Todd?
Yeah.
And Mike?
Yeah.
So, motion passed to pay those invoices for April. And then a motion to approve the financial statement, unless there's any questions.
I can make that motion.
Okay, I'll second it.
And David, roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah.
Eric? Eric? Yeah. Todd?
Yes.
Tally and David?
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you all.
So, all right. Levi, does I assume that you are not on here anymore? I don't think you are.
No, he's not.
I think he gave up.
That's right. He said, I'm out. Okay. So your code compliance and your wastewater treatment report were in your packet. Does anybody have any questions for Jeff on those? I do have to admit that I just recently met Brian Ramblesburg. He came in the other day, and I'm like, hi, I'm Jill, and he's like, I'm Brian, and said, oh, nice to meet you, and I was just alone in the office, and so I wasn't sure who this person was. I said, is there something I can help you with? He goes, oh, I'm Brian, like, I work here. So he's not somebody that you see very often. So it was nice to have a chance to meet him. If you haven't met him yet from the wastewater treatment plant, he takes care of a lot of things there, so it's good to see him. All right, so resolution number 2021-02, first reading, a resolution ratifying a contract between the Village of Galena and the Greater Galena Civic Association, GGCA, for Summerfest 2021. That's a first reading. Is there any need for making that emergency? Or I just had a couple of questions and the fact that just wanted to make sure that we're all good to have it. I praying that we have it. I'm, you know, hoping that we are all good to go. But, you know, can, like, you know, the stuff we were dealing with last year, is there COVID insurance needed? Did they kind of, you know, any of that stuff? I mean, are they going to have all the precautions? They're talking about having to wipe down mics and have hand sanitizer available and all these things for these events. So I'm not sure exactly what we'll want to require, I guess, if you will, mm-hmm. or to just kind of follow the state.
You're on mute, Ken.
I checked with the insurance company, and they were dead against it, of course, last year. And right. We'll find that if they're the same way this year, I think it's the same result.
So I don't know if Grace is on.
I don't believe so. I didn't see her come on. Have you heard anything?
All I know is when they're meeting and that they're you know, they have the contract already and that they're getting vendors. So
right.
I don't know the details, but I'm sure I could get Grace to come to the next meeting and give you a call or somehow.
I think it'd be lovely to have somebody, you know, come for next meeting because I think we all want to know. I mean, I am.
Okay.
I hope I have a whole summer.
I just have a comment after reading through it as well. So we talked down under security. They talk about $1,000 from the festival to pay for security. And Suzanne, if I'm correct, that is what we have done in the past.
Yes.
But then I see under village responsibilities, it says coordinating Delco water and paying water services on the village square. So I didn't know that we paid the water and we gave the $1,000 and we paid the electric.
Well,
is there any profit, even for a park bench would be nice or something, you know?
I can't answer that since I'm not on the GGCA, but
no,
I know that in the past, we pay the water bill, but it's the same water bill, it's the same, and it doesn't matter if we have Summerfest or not, it's like the standard rate, I think it's $21.07, and it's for like four or five different properties, including the square, and it doesn't matter if it's going or not.
I never remembered us paying the water. I did remember us paying for police coverage due to the alcohol around $1,000 or whatever. Yeah. And I did recall Frank paying the electric, which we got such tight budget constraints. I think we need to just watch in the future, maybe. Maybe we can't do as much. I don't know. We'll see.
I will ask Grace if she can either communicate with Jill or come to the next meeting or something.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to be at the GGCA meeting. I really wanted to go to that. And my father-in-law had some needs there. So, as you guys know, he's still. So, I'd love the minutes from that, as a matter of fact. Okay. All right, so we'll just read that as a first reading. Next one is ordinance number 2020-16. This is a third reading that was tabled until this date for 2621, an ordinance conditionally accepting the public improvements at the Arrowhead Lake Estate, Section 1 and 2, implementing the maintenance bond, maintenance period and bond, releasing the performance bond, all in accordance with the development agreement. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 2020-16.
Thank you. And a second, please.
I'll flag it.
Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. You want to do an all those in favor, Suzanne?
No, this has to be a roll call.
No.
Thank you.
So, David?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
And Tom?
Yes.
Great. Passed for the ordinance conditionally accepting the public improvements at the Arrowhead Lake Estate, Section 1 and 2.
You need to make certain, Mayor, that the we advise the developer that the maintenance period starts today.
Okay.
4 months ago when they brought in the maintenance bond, so there's no confusion about that.
Okay. Okay, very good. First reading here, ordinance number 2021-09, an ordinance ratifying closing portions of Walnut Street, Columbus Street, and Middle Street on August 27, 2021 from midnight until August 28, 2021 at midnight, and portions of Park Street on August 27, 2021 from midnight through August 30th, 2021 at 5 p.m. for Summerfest. And again, first reading on that. All right. As far as Delaware County Regional Planning Commission report, not a lot to report there. Morphe, I did send to you, the Morphe reports are getting quite involved with so much talk about what's going on with COVID and with the actual state mandates and all of that, so I thought I would give that to you all. We are unfortunately creeping back up in our rates, and we do have about 33% of Ohioans have received that first dose of the COVID vaccine. Man, get those things going down. I got a wedding to plan in August, so we really need to have people there. So we're hoping that we can get all these events for the summer back on board. I really hope everybody can. So,
Can we just step backwards 1 second? That ordinance 2021-5709, and maybe it's because it's late and I'm missing it, but it's saying through August 30th at 5 p.m., the tail end of that. August 30th is Monday night.
So they don't take the tents down till Monday.
Okay.
Because I asked about that when I saw those dates, and they don't take the tents back until Monday. That's what.
That's why it's just Park Street owner.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Unless anybody has anything from Ruben, the SCNG Fire Board report, we'll wait till next meeting. I've kind of mentioned, unless Kathy, you have any additions to Planning and Zoning Commission report?
No, but I think it is important for us, and I'll try to get with Ruben on the fire, because there's been some real important conversations going on in overhearing them through Berkshire that we haven't gotten from Ruben.
Yeah.
I'll try and remember to call him tomorrow.
Okay. Other commission reports?
I just wanted to, as I promised, report on a conversation I had with Gene Fuller with American Legion. American Legion and VFW are doing, as they did last year, a brief ceremony with firing 21 gun salute and taps at the Sunbury Memorial Cemetery, and they're going across to the Fallen Heroes, and then from there they will come to the Galena Cemetery and do the same thing. So that's the extent of their involvement for Memorial Day. And without more than that, I'm not sure that we can do anything on the square and in the cemetery as we've done. So I would just publicize the fact that they're doing that. Gene promised to call me when they were leaving Sunbury. As it worked out last year, I got there just as they were getting back in their car, so I missed that. So.
Yeah, I did see it. I was headed to the grocery store and saw them there, but I would like, I don't know how I'm going to find the time, but I would like to get the cemetery committee together to at least 3, 4, 5 days before for us to go through the cemetery and make sure it looks like it's in tip-top shape. I've been up there recently, and it looks, I was there when Cody was there. When it's looking very, very good. So I'll have to look at the list of who, I think Todd, I think David, you guys might be on the cemetery. So I know we've got the 15th for the final planting, so it'll have to be after that. But I'll try and put something together for us to get together and make sure it's in tip-top shape.
You know, it takes a lot of some care, but something that the families seem to appreciate is if you just take a broom and brush off the stones. Cody can't deal with that when he's mowing.
Well, it looks real good right now, and Cody explained it to me. He said it's the way the grass kicks out of the mowers.
Right.
He said, as of next year with the new mower they're going to have, they won't have as much of a problem. But that's what Jill and I did probably at least half a day last weekend, or last year before Memorial, is we just went and blew headstones.
Right.
And whatnot. So.
And I think the families really appreciate that.
Can I do this? Can I ask Todd, David, either of you to head that up and I'll participate? But I've got so much going on with the square.
Yeah. Is that Todd?
Yeah, sure. It's just a matter of setting it up for us to go check it out.
Usually go there with blowers and whatnot.
Let me reach out to you guys.
With a broom or whatever.
Yeah. I'll get with you guys offline and we're not taking
it. Okay. All right. That's fine.
And then also, go ahead. Also, when asked with the cemetery, Jeff, you and I had talked about this several months back. The sign that's in the cemetery with the rules and regulations. I just wondered if there's some way to get that redone. It needs a little more than repainted, I would say. I think it's kind of rotting. So it's that big sign that you see, you know, that kind of lets people know what we do in the cemetery as far as the rules and regulations. So I don't know if we can find somebody to build something for us and have it, painted. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Go ahead, Kathy.
I'm sorry. Do we first look at the – I went by and looked at it. You're right. It needs to be done. But do we first look at the rules and regs and make sure everybody agrees those are still the same rules and regs we want to follow? And then I agree, Jill, the next thing is, okay, how can we have it redone?
I was going to say the very same thing. I believe there's probably additional rules. The committee should really get together and review the rules, and I have some examples from a couple other places, and it's probably a good time to review all that before having a new sign fabricated.
Right.
We would discuss that when we meet about the other.
Yeah, because I went and read them, and that's what came to my mind is, I think maybe we need to visit these first, and then, follow through.
By the way, Ruben is the fourth member on that committee.
Okay, thank you.
Krupa is chair, and then there's Ruben, Todd, and David.
Yeah, and Ruben's as thin on time as I am these days, but yes.
Also, if anybody can't see this online, there's another zoning meeting on May 6th at 7 p.m. at Berkshire Town Hall about the 300 workforce housing apartments. That's 100% tax abated for life. So they're just asking for more and more attendance. I attended that last month, and when the developer came and talked to their planning and zoning. Just interesting to watch. You know, their zoning works quite differently. Their planning and zoning actually doesn't report anything to the trustees. Once it goes to planning and zoning, they decide everything and it stops there. So it's just kind of a different setup. And So just wanted to encourage everybody to attend. Support our surrounding areas. All right. Anything else? I know we don't have executive session tonight.
I have one thing, Mayor. You'll recall that Jeff, we looked for an appraiser for the water, the old waterworks. I found him.
Yep.
And he's a bargain, but I'm the only one here tonight who doesn't have any authority to spend any money. So I just need somebody. Somebody needs to tell me it's okay to spend. He quoted a fee of $1,000, and he's an MAI appraiser, so that's a pretty good deal. I'm not saying it's reasonable in relation to the value of the property, but we have to have somebody appraise it. So
yeah,
if that's okay. I think, Jeff, that's within your spending, isn't it?
Didn't he get up to 5,000?
Yeah, I can spend 1,000, but since it's not in our budget, it'd be good for council to authorize that.
Okay.
And this is concerning the old water plant building, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Across from the boardwalk.
Yeah. And the appraiser is Ken Malika. He's an MAI appraiser, and usually they charge $4,000 or $5,000 to park. So it's a pretty good arrangement. He's been in town before. He's appraised what is now the son of Thurman when it was the pub. So he's familiar with the area, and if we're going to sell it, we need to have an appraisal.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go, Karen. So this is in preparation for potentially selling the building, correct?
Yes, correct.
I'd be happy to make that motion to approve $1,000 for appraisal.
I'll second it.
Roll call vote.
Sorry about that. Kathy, David.
Yes.
Todd, Mike, and Eric.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Motion was passed to authorize to spend $1,000. And if I could get a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thanks. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting has adjourned at 9:55. Thank you, everyone. We kind of knew that was going to be a long one. So get up and stretch. Have a great night. Stay tight. Bye-bye.
You guys.
Bye-bye.